The Don and Mike Show. Want to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations and restrictions for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamped envelope to the Don and Mike Show, 10800 Main Street, Fairfax, Virginia, 22030. Thank you, and God bless.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
Where we always give you the laughs you need on the 8th. Starring a man whose agent isn't vigorous, and he invites you to come use his pool anytime. It's Michael Thorpe as the tightest DJ in America, Don Geronimo. And he sits and really works it a lot. He's the inventor of the world-famous Lil Mikey Burger, and he can have a panic attack at any moment. He's Michael Sean Patrick O'Meara, and Mike O'Meara, with sexy, swinging his newsy, ever to grace the glass-closed room. He makes men cry and women swoon. It's Michael Nelson and Don and Mike is brought to you by Spark. Now, coming to you guys from the world down to my headquarters is Classic Rockville, Maryland. Broadcasting Rich Corinthian Reverb. Here's Don and Mike! Oh, let's hear it for him!
Happy old Thursday.
That might be one of my favorite intros.
That's a good one. And thank you to loyal listener Glenn Darren.
Thanks, Glenn.
The Don and Mike Show.
That was a good one. And hello, friends.
Hello.
Right
there. Hello.
Right there. Hello.
Right there.
Okay. Hi, Don and Mike.
We appreciate it.
Whoa, look out. Look out.
Look out.
Look, the key for me is to keep expectations low.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
You're
a
goddamn genius.
That's tighter than an unfriend.
I do love this song by New Order.
I like it too.
Starting today's show, as you can tell by the smell, this is the Don and Mike Show, and it's a new episode, everybody, on this Thursday. 092806. It is September 28th, 2006. That phone number, you just heard them, but here they are one more time if you're slow. 877-365-3636. That's the main number from the U.S. and Canada. You want to hear us on your computer? Go to your
website. Go to your computer, go to our website. Pardon, DonnaMikeWebsite.com and just click on Listen Live. We love getting your fan mail. It's piling up in the back room. It's becoming a fire hazard back
there. It really is embarrassing. All those crates that we have filled with milk cartons are what we're putting it in.
Send your fan mail. Email us, DonnaMikeWebsite.com. Our webmaster, Yanni, is back there, and he filters out only the finest email to reach the air.
Yeah, he's good at that.
And also, if you want to hear the show downloaded and listen to it whenever you want, you can go to iTunes, and we have a very easy one-click thing on the front page of our webpage.
That's good.
It's a thing. You click, and it goes to iTunes.
It's very easy, I hear.
So that would be all the information that I have for you. That's how you can contact us.
You're a font of information.
I like getting it all out right at the very beginning.
You don't look at all like Wayne Fonts either.
There you go. Mike, I love when you mentioned him.
Yeah, I want to know.
Fred Flintstone, like coach of your Detroit Lions.
Yeah, where has he gone?
All right, well, I understand we're working like with a 45-second delay. I just opened the telephone lines up, and but now we got to wait for the calls.
Wayne Fonts is not dead, Rob.
There we go. Hello. Oops. Joe, what are you doing?
I like this part of the song right here. You never play it this deep. I like the chords, man.
You know what I like about this? It's that semi-gay Euro pop.
Do you know who it reminds me of? Can I tell you something? It's an older group.
What's that?
Mike and the Mechanics. And does that insult you? I know you're not as big a Mike and the Mechanics fan as I am.
That's an insult to the Gen Men. That's an insult to the men of Genesis. They're a masculine group. Let's keep their body of work out of this discussion. If we're going to compare...
Do you think that the Genesis men, the Mike Rutherford and the Mechanics men, would be insulted by a comparison to New Order? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
More
Michael.
Pet Shop Boys, right?
Hey,
and I think Pet Shop Boys. Pet Shop Boys might be an insult to New Order.
No, I don't think so.
No, hold on. I think on the food chain. Pet Shop Boys are more faggy than New Order.
Yeah, it would go Mike and the Mechanics and then New Order, then Pet Shop Boys.
And, of course, the trump card to be the Village People, but that's when you're really going.
Everybody loves it.
Totally, Dave.
I think you may have Spandau Ballet in between.
See, that's debatable to me.
Yeah.
True! I'm so gay for that song. I remember when that song came out.
I don't know how you can be gay for that after we had to play it that many times.
Well, that song very first came out. I was working in Pittsburgh at B94, and I had a copy of the 12-inch.
That's the copy.
It was one of the very few times that I ever danced with Frida of my own accord.
Right.
Because I was in that phase where I would hear a song and love it and bring it home and just put it on the record player.
Right.
And let it go and go and go and go and go and go and go. And finally said, dance with me. Dance with me. I love
this
song.
Well, I didn't know it had those romantic overtones for you.
I grew to hate it. But I don't think Spandau Ballet is gay.
I did the same thing with one of my ex-wives with Don't Worry, Be Happy.
Hey, what about Go West?
Oh,
they're very gay.
Yeah. What, Robbie?
ABC.
Oh.
What was the
smoky thing?
And then also don't forget the heterosexual sounds of Rick Astley or Simply Red.
What was Breakout?
Dun, dun, dun. Swing Out Sister.
All right.
That's Swing Out Sister. That's a girl, though.
A girl.
That's a girl.
I like that. ABC was very gay.
Yeah, oh, Rob had that.
You had that.
No, someone had.
No, you had it. Whatever.
Buzz had the gay DC.
Buzz had the Pet Shop Boys, though.
Yes.
That's a good hold card to have.
Hold card.
Ace King.
And, of course...
Ace Queen.
Let me just crown myself as saying Clay Aiken.
Oh, sure.
Thank you. If only he'd
been around back in the day.
Clay Aiken. Isn't that right, Clay?
I know. Are you gay, Clay?
Clay?
That's bewitching, isn't it?
Not a denial.
Answer the question. Are you gay, Clay?
I'm crazy.
He's crazy. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Don and Mike.
Yeah, hi. Howdy.
Hey, good. Hey, how you doing?
Okay.
Anyway, I was playing ball.
Sounds like a sneaky guy, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Sounds like something's afoot.
Hey.
Sounds like there's something going down.
Hey,
here.
Don and Mike, how you doing? Hey, listen up. Anyway, hey.
Where's the stuff?
Hey, is Dave there?
Funny. Anyway, I was just...
Right. Was funny. I'm sorry for those of you who grew up like myself with Cheech and Chong.
Mm-hmm.
Funny.
Hey, Donna Mike, I'm down here at the warehouse, and I got a call for you. Hey, something's gone wrong.
You're sounds funny.
Like, but... Sounds like when you called George Michael at home.
Speaking of... speaking of cheating John, I subjected poor Janet over our vacation one night to listening to most of Earache My Eye.
Oh my
I have the CD.
Oh, yeah.
And it's that one that goes... And it's an entire song by them, and they're just like... And then it's, you know... Get your little fanny down or I'm going to beat your ass. Is that the hardest you can hit me?
That is a true Cheech and Chong lovers record.
A deep cut.
I mean, yeah. It is really, you got to be committed to Cheech and Chong.
Well, you got to listen to the whole record.
Not just the moviegoer like I was. You got to really get into the albums.
Fan.
I was a casual fan.
Their records, please.
Yeah.
You get me? Basketball Jones. Goddamn, I would listen to that stuff all the time.
Basketball Jones.
Put in your beanbag chair, put on your headphones, and listen to...
Because as soon as Dad beats his ass, shuts the door, says, are you going to get your little fanny perpendicular and get to school? Yes, yes. Are you going to get me on a board back, Doug? No. Okay, get out of here. Door slams. You hear the needle go back on the record. Janet looked at me and she said...
How'd she enjoy it?
She said, how old were you when you first liked that? About 12.
Right.
Okay, good.
They were popular then.
Good.
And now he's on that singing show.
Yeah. And the other one is... what's the other one up to, Buzz? You're always... champion of the cause.
Oh, Tommy Chong.
Tommy Chong Bond.
Touring the country with his wife, his actually stunning wife, doing a stage show and hoping to do another TV show.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Where would Flock of Seagulls fit into the mix?
Yeah, there.
A Flock of Seagulls would be...
On hair alone.
Now, well, see, hold on. Are we judging the appearance?
Well, then if you're going to throw hair in, you got to throw Duran Duran.
If we're judging by appearance, then, yeah. But if it's strictly by music, not very gay. I don't think Flock of Seagulls.
And I ran.
I ran
so far away. I disagree. I think you've got to give them a gay card. You really do. I think you could put all those bands together. And they would have some homosexual qualities.
Of course. But, Mike, all bands have homosexual qualities.
And they're fine qualities.
A good band.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Yeah, hi.
How is it, people? Hey, where would you rank Simple Minds on that list?
I don't think Simple Minds I would rank as...
I would.
Would you really?
Hey. Yeah. Simple Minds is gay.
Don't you?
Maybe I got the wrong band.
Simple Minds.
No, I do.
Are gay. And also...
What's the band that goes...
The guy with the red hair. If you don't know me by now.
Billy and the Beaters?
No.
Simply Red.
No. That's, Simply Red.
Remember the album cover? Him
well, is that Simply Red that sang that?
Yeah.
Well, first Harold Melvin and the Blue Notes.
Right. All right, when you say Midnight Oil...
Mick Hucknall.
No, Midnight Oil is...
Outside the window.
That's not gay.
No, that's what I said. What was the last band the guy mentioned?
Simple Minds.
Simple Minds. I was confused.
Don't mind you. Forget about me.
Okay, strike what I just said.
It's like the Breakfast Club, right?
Right.
Closing scene. Yeah.
Midnight Oil's the bald guy.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Not sure, but I just know that's a song that we had to play. Something like every 90 minutes.
They still were, during that era of music, they were all sounding like a very old artist who has since left us, named Anthony Newley.
Hello,
because they all sounded like this. True.
Well, you know, hold on. No. That really started, at least in my mind, with Jethro Tull, with the Anthony Newley. Because hold on.
Sitting on a park bench, snot running down his nose.
Yeah, that was.
You might be right. I mean, it certainly predates that.
Let's bungle in the jungle.
And then that trend was replaced by the Hootie and the Blowfish.
And followed by Counting Crows.
And Pearl Jam.
The heroin. The content of the early part of the program has motivated one Joseph Ardinger to make his way into the studio. A very rare occurrence.
It's going to be goddamn important. Hold on. Here is. Here's Joe, who's made the trek three studios down to weigh in as if he's really a member of this show.
Well, I missed it. But did you figure out the name of that Cheech and Chong song?
No, I did not, Joseph.
Earache My Eye. So everybody can stop calling.
Oh, people were calling.
Did I not mention that was a track?
You did. No, I don't think so.
No, did you? I think I did say you're in my eye.
I think you did too, and I think the callers are not listening.
Thank you.
What are you enjoying for lunch today?
Ham sandwich.
Ham sandwich. Very mundane for him, a ham sandwich.
Hello, Don and Mike show. It's what it's laced with. Hello?
The Thompson twins.
Thompson twins, gay
hair, definitely gay hair.
Yeah, but
Millie
hold on
Vanilli.
A second. Hold on. Yes, Millie Vanilli, gay music, gay and men, gay.
In the 80s.
What about Thompson twins? I kind of like Hold Me Now. I don't know.
How about Paul gay. Young?
Gay.
100%. Is he dead?
He wasn't killed the gay way, was he?
I don't know.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Death by impalement.
Hello. The gay way.
The gay way.
Hello. Don and Mike show.
Hello?
Yes, hi. There you go. Push on the button. Make it go. Make it happen, baby.
I was wondering if you guys...
Hold on. Joe just came in with one. Fine Young Cannibals. That's great, Joe. As one cannibal would say to another, eat me. Screw the calls, please, Joey. But thank you for the earache my eye tip in.
Well, it's Thursday.
You know what that means.
We're getting him on his day after his peak.
Yeah. He's still fresh, though. He's still energetic.
Hello. Are you still there, honey?
Yeah, uh-huh.
Hi, you're on the air. Well, what can we do for
you? Yeah, I was wondering if you guys had seen that video that's on YouTube with that little Indian guy dancing.
The little what? Indian guy?
Yeah, the little Indian guy. I don't know if it's... or if it's the grown man and he's doing that weird, like, beatbox.
The one on YouTube that everybody's looking at right now that I enjoy the most is the angry teacher who gets mad at the guy that's on the cell phone
it's
in his
so
class.
Great.
And you don't see it coming. That's what makes it great.
He's one of those teachers, and it's almost like something out of a movie, where he just walks by.
He'll say Jeremy Piven.
It's a kid who's in class. And he's on the telephone, and the teacher walks by and just—I mean, it comes.
The phone
out.
Rings. He's in the middle of a lecture, and the phone rings in class. And as opposed to just hitting the button and putting it away, the kid takes the call, somebody's taping the lecture in the lecture hall, which I guess everybody does now on college campuses. They videotape,
and you see the teacher come walking down the aisle.
Because what he does is this is what makes this so great. He stops focusing on the lecture, the person that's videotaping it, and he moves to the kid that's on the phone before the teacher gets there. That's what makes me laugh, because then you can hear just a little laughter in the background.
Because they know what's coming.
And then the teacher makes his way over there, and you think the teacher's going to pick up the phone and say something.
And
right?
He swats it out of the kid's hand, and you see the phone go...
He picks it up, and he slams it on the ground. Just smash, just destroys the phone right in front of him. Right. And then continues calmly.
Keeps walking down the aisle.
with his lecture.
I like that.
Fantastic.
It's a good one. Oh, and our commercials are still up on YouTube. You only have got till Monday to get them in, and we'll have the finalists. That's another thing that I think is great about our show. Right. And I only talked about how great our show is. We'll get back to talking about faggy singers in a second. But... this whole YouTube thing, I love this. I love the fact that there are now, I think there are 17 commercials, and of the ones that our listeners have made, maybe five or six of them are actually really funny.
Mm-hmm.
Really, really funny. And we're going to find one commercial, and Mike and I are going to buy local TV time, cable time, way out the sticks where we can afford it. And the company is very graciously, as always, going to half-assed buy one commercial, and we're not even sure they're really going to do that.
Yeah, we heard maybe two the other day, and of course, maybe zero.
You know, and when we were screaming at the announcer Michael Hughes the other day, this is a perfect example of why I just don't think they get what we're doing here.
I don't think they get what anybody's doing.
I don't think they get it that, you know, you think that they're always coming at us with this stuff that, you know, let's be... As a company, they say, let's be on top of today's trends. We want to, you know, we've got to have this iTunes thing going. We've got to show the podcast works. We've got to have the downloads going. You know, as far as I know, we're the only radio show thus far that asked people to contribute stuff that is actually going to be put on television.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That seems to me to be kind of a thing you might want to just, like, send a press release out about.
Pretty cutting edge.
You know, Don and Mike are doing something that no other DJs have done before.
Right.
You know, and they're actually going to take this commercial and put it on TV. And furthermore, we, CBS, are even going to buy the spot adjacent to CSI to run this homemade commercial.
You think they'd want to crow about that?
No, there's nothing. There is.
Crickets.
Yeah, absolutely. There's nothing. Now, you know, I don't get it.
Yeah.
I just don't get it.
No one does.
No, I'm not surprised at all. I guess, think it's a great idea because they're going to buy a commercial.
I think they like it.
They're going to buy one commercial for it.
And commercial.
Well, then they must think it's a good idea.
They must.
They're very excited.
I wish they would crow that.
You know, I'm glad they're offering one because now when they don't deliver on that, it won't be that big a deal.
But he upped it to two yesterday, so that'll be more.
No, he said maybe two, Buzz.
That was right. Hedging, Buzz.
Yeah, I understand.
But the fact is, I still hold out that there's a very significant chance there would be nothing.
Yeah, but they had to
because they do that. That's what they have done. They it is a pattern of disappointment.
You know, and we don't do a lot of stuff that I think the company would necessarily want to jump up on top of a mountain and scream like, you know, oh my God, they played fart sound effects during a Barry White record today.
Okay,
all right.
We do that.
But still, come on. I mean, what's hotter than YouTube? We all watch YouTube every single day. Favorite website out there now.
Yeah.
Among everybody. We're using it. We're going to play the ad on the goddamn show. You know who knows about it? The people who listen to our show.
God bless them.
That's it.
It was nice that they offered one spin on television because that escalates the disappointment.
Right.
Yeah.
It doesn't come through.
Anyway, pretty good job our listeners are doing on YouTube with that. And,
yeah.
And thank you very much. As long as
talking
about YouTube, I want to throw that in. That Monday is the day that we're going to select the commercial.
I know I had spoken to you about the one where you're wearing the Batman cowl and they turn me into the
Lord of the Rings guy.
J.R. Tolkien.
Yeah.
But I do love the animated monkey, too.
Yes.
I really think that's... I went back and looked at him again, and, man, that's a tough one to argue with.
And there's also a third one that just has grainy photos of us.
Yeah.
And it's very cheaply
done. And they're kind of wobbling.
Yeah, yeah. But it's got, like, the music's like... Wa-da-da-da-da-da-da.
Right.
Wa-da-da-da-da-da. And every time I go to YouTube and look at those and try to think, which one am I going to vote for to get on the air? That always ends up in my top three.
Yeah, that is a good one, too. And what's the other one with the TV show music that they...
Oh, the Family Ties
Family
one.
Ties music. That's a good one,
that
too.
Is a really good one. And there's one that I don't understand that we could never run on TV because it would be copyright infringement.
Oh.
Where the guy has taken a commercial for some type of gardening supply that makes your pansies grow bigger.
That I laugh at, too.
So what's funny about that, though, is that it's just a guy saying...
It's a guy talking about pansies.
He's leaning over in a flower bed and he says, do you want bigger pansies? And he says, you got to buy this stuff. And then our logo comes up.
Right. And I even noticed the significance of there are two flowers that he's planting. Do you notice that? There's two
I did not notice that.
Put it on
and at the very end of the commercial, it's got a really nice homemade feature where it's got our logo and the little guy's head pops up in a little ball and he says something like...
Something about pansies.
You know, you'll get the best pansies ever.
Oh, that's great.
Now, we can't run that because of copyright infringement on TV. But that's really, really good stuff.
It is.
And that's the type of thing that the radio business, and I'm talking about not only CBS, but everybody, should be trumpeting that, you know, some things are still happening on radio.
Yeah. Right.
That people are listening to and are interacting with. It's all the crap that they want, and that we're doing it, and they just ignore us. They just ignore us. But we do have a new date for a Reno-style show.
All that's right. Exciting.
We do. It is Wednesday, October 18th.
Right.
Wednesday, October 18th?
Yeah.
That is, that's only like 2.5 weeks away.
Yeah, exactly.
2.5 weeks away. Mike, we're going back to Hooters again.
Oh, fantastic. Well, we're welcome there.
Yeah. See, the thing with Hooters is they're cool with what we do.
Yeah.
And the Hooters here in Rockville, Maryland is big, holds about 500 people. And they don't care what we say, and they don't care what we do. So we're going to say thank you to the Hooters girls.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
And we're going to go back and have our We're Number Whatever in the ratings party.
Very good.
Meet everybody and say hi. Wednesday, October 18th.
I think that's good. I look forward to it just up the street.
Thank you, Hooters, for stepping up.
I hear here they're going to tent the patio.
Oh.
So there'll be room for more people. We, you know, we had to turn folks away last time.
That's a good thing.
So everybody come on out to Rockville.
We're pitching
it. So after the big CF we had with the Las Vegas style show that didn't happen last night,
right?
We have rescheduled this for you. Now, excuse me, Reno style show. Reno, not Las Vegas. Reno style show.
Very good.
Wednesday, October 18th at Hooters of Rockville. And I don't want to wait on the disproportionate breast contest.
Right.
We'll figure out something else to do at Hooters. And incidentally, Hooters was cool. I mean, it's Hooters.
Okay,
yeah, it's Hooters. Yeah. They were cool with
what
that.
Better place for a disproportionate breast contest?
Do you mind if girls are up in bikinis and they hey, jackass at Hooters?
Yeah. So we're going to do the disproportionate breast contest here?
Yeah, I don't want to wait. It's a good contest. And,
and I think it'll be a little more intimate here.
We can put pictures up on the web, like right. for Strip Trivia, where we will either block off chicks' faces and heads if they want.
This
and
dropping.
And if you have one breast that's bigger than the other, you can prove it by stripping down to your bra or here in the comfortable confines of our studio. Let it all go, and Buzz will measure.
Yeah, baby.
We decided that since everybody loves Buzz, Buzz will be the one that is trusted with the ruler.
I'm not good at that.
And Buzz will have his CSI gloves on, and
yes.
We'll also be
even in both you and I with the you know the circumstances we're in now. He gets in less trouble when he does it.
Yeah, absolutely. And Buzz can give some free checks for breast cancer as well.
No extra charge.
And you know, Buzz always like when you go to see Dr. Buzz, you always get a little kiss right when you're done.
Sure, and he's clean, very clean.
Yeah, clean. So the disproportionate breast contest is something we'll do on the air. We do have $500 to give away for this, and if you're a woman and you do have one breast bigger than the other, give us a call at some time during either today's show, tomorrow's show, Monday's show. Let us know. And if we
next week, we're going to get them all rustled up here.
Yep, like to get a whole room full of women who have one bigger than the other.
Right.
And we have enough money that if we have...
If it's here, you don't need the bikini top.
That would be optional, Mike.
Optional.
That would
Wouldn't
be
you
optional.
Agree, Buzz? I would agree wholeheartedly that the top would be optional.
Will Buzz be wearing a bikini top?
You'd have to ask him that, Rob.
Buzz,
no.
Will you be wearing a
no, I'll be topless.
Oh,
God.
He'll be commando.
And he would. And he would if we asked him. Buzz?
Yes?
When the women come down, if they do, in fact, for the disproportionate breast contest,
yes?
Will you do the show that day without your shirt on?
I'll consider it. I don't know that we want that.
Wow.
I'll consider it.
How about, would you wear one of your wife beaters?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Would you wear your shorty-short bike shorts?
No, that's not going to happen.
Well,
no.
You're not going to dress like T.O.?
No.
On his bicycle?
No. I'll be wearing full-length pants.
A tank top and bicycle shorts.
I don't think I've ever seen you wear bicycle shorts.
Well, you've never been to Buzz's house on the weekend.
So is that what he wears to relax?
Yes. Yeah,
those are lederhosen.
He wears bicycle shorts with no shirt.
Oh, dear. And when he wears his bicycle shorts, does he go commando?
Oh, of course. You see everything.
No need to see a panty line.
Oh, and he wears knee socks. White knee socks with hard shoes.
Does he wear the bicycle helmet around the house so as not to injure himself?
Exactly.
The safety first.
He does.
Most accidents happen at home.
Well, women do trust Buzz for whatever reason.
For some strange reason.
So you should know, ladies, if you want to participate in this thing, it'll be Buzz that's doing the measuring, and Buzz will be the closest to doing any touching, if there is any touching. So, you know, he's clean, and everybody likes him, and blah, 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 blah. Hold on. We have so many calls here. Are these all about gay bands still? Hello, Donna Mike Show. Hello.
Speak to us, please. You on the phone, Dave.
Or just...
Bye! Right.
Now, too late.
Moron.
Too late. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
How about Taco singing Putting on the Ritz?
Taco is... We're talking about bands. It's a novelty.
So. You know, hold on. Just you love Putting on the Ritz, Mike.
Well, I
it's like Spandau Ballet. You've got that's got to be
no,
a show.
It's
I would
not.
Vote Taco
no,
is
it
gay.
Is not. Yeah. The way I like Putting on the Ritz is not the way you like Spandau Ballet. You told me a story about Spandau Ballet that I did not belay incidentally. I like the way I said
I like,
that.
Oh, but that's
Spandau Ballet.
But that's not like
Taco.
That's not like a special song for me that holds a special significance.
Yeah, but Taco. The only reason I bring up Taco is because I hate it so much. I bring it up because I mock it. I mock it. That's what I say. Don't I? Haven't I mocked Taco for a long time?
Hold on, you mock Taco.
I really
but you
mock Taco.
Don't mock Taco like you mock Don't Worry, Be Happy, which I know you truly hate.
Yeah. Man, you're right. I mean, nothing compares
because
to Don't Worry, Be Happy.
Sometimes
that,
before
that
the show,
song, I'd like it to be forever erased from my memory.
Hold on. Sometimes before the show, when I'm down here playing records that go through the building,
yeah.
When I play Taco, don't you come downstairs and go, hey, yeah. And it's not always like, hey, yeah, you're playing.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, I come down and I go, yeah. But that's
mocking. No. I know the difference. I know the sophisticated levels of Mike O'Mara.
Well, I'd have to hear it again.
Don't get it out.
I'd have to hear it again.
Don't.
Really.
That's going
to
start a
you know how I truly feel.
No,
yeah, I mean, no, I mean, if you're going to, when you use Don't Worry, Be Happy, you're talking about a song that I remember working with you. We were doing the morning show, and that song, both of us, we hated it so soon after it came out, and then it became this smash hit. And
the anthem. Anthem of a nation. Hello, Don and Mike Show. I used to fade it out after 2 minutes.
I loved when you did that. I loved the first time you did that.
The song was like 4 minutes long, and I would just cut off the last two verses.
And they give you all that crap for doing that, too, and it was just brilliant. You would just take the thing and
Bobby McFerrin, good morning, Wave a Morning Zoo.
That's enough of that. All right, what's happening, David?
Hello there. You are on the air. Don and Mike Show.
Hey, guys. I was going to see if Rob remembered Bronski Beat.
Oh, Bronski Beat.
Well,
I don't know that.
Move I use.
They were like the KFK band there was.
This is Bronski.
And it's going to beat you. Bronski Beat and Husker Du.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, how about the Vape It?
That's not gay.
I heard an old lady.
Sorry, hold on a second.
Then I sat and really worked it.
I heard an old lady waitress down in Florida actually use the term the vapors for getting sick.
Oh, really?
She said, all those people. Yes, but all those snowbirds have given me the vapors.
The vapors.
The vapors.
I have the vapors.
The vapors.
Oh, that makes me think of Gone with the Wind, a movie that I've never seen. Thank God I have never seen that film.
Frankly, Scarlett, I just don't give a damn.
Never seen it.
I don't think you've missed it.
Don't really care.
Do you love it?
Of course you do. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
I'm gay.
You are. The only thing, in your mind, the only thing that movie's missing is the Nazis.
Do you like My Fair Lady? Like, you were talking about doing a report on that. Do you like that show? So do I.
Hello?
Do you really
want to
hurt me?
Yes, I do. And yes, that's too obvious.
Come on, the Ultra Club.
Yeah, I know, but Boy George is card-carrying gay.
It doesn't count.
Nah, that music is gay.
And a felon.
Rob, can't you give a guy a fifth chance?
No.
Hello,
I'll give you a group from that era who I didn't think was gay.
Who's that?
Men at Work.
That's right.
Yeah, that's true.
Just annoying.
Very annoying after
Hello.
A while. They're from Australia.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Oops, hold on. Got to do that. Hello, you're on the air.
Yeah, Rico Suave.
Rico Suave, yeah, doesn't count.
Yeah.
Doesn't count. Right. Not gay enough.
Gerardo.
Thank you. It's not thick enough. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Excuse me.
Oops. You're on the air. Hello.
That just came. It was like I thought I stifled the burp, and then it kind of came through my nose and went brr.
Hello, you're on the air.
Echo and the Bunnymen into Depeche Mode.
Depeche Mode, yeah.
No. No, I don't think Depeche Mode is gay, but I think Depeche Mode would be on a musical level with New Order. They'd be maybe a little...
How many hits did Depeche Mode have, two?
A lot.
Did they have a lot?
Are you kidding me? Personal Jesus, I like that. What's that one, Forget the Silence or Open the Silence or the Silence of the Lambs or the something of the...
Silence.
Something
the
is, I don't know. I like Depeche Mode. They kick ass.
How many other hits did they have?
They had a bunch. Everybody's the number one gay group of all time. I don't know. They might be kind of gay. When I think about it. They might be gay musically.
Lots of the gay.
Radio Gods.
Hello.
Radio Gods.
Yeah, hi, we're here.
Hey.
Hey.
My daddy thinks I'm queer because I wear my sister's clothes. He caught me in the bathroom with a pair of pantyhose.
Your father did? What's this from?
It raked my eye.
Oh, thank you. Okay, those are the lyrics.
Circle.
Okay, hold on. Give me the lyrics one more time. Give me the lyrics one more time. Hold on.
Okay.
Repeat them one more time, please.
Okay, it goes like this. One of them is, let's see. My daddy thinks I'm queer because I wear my sister's clothes.
My daddy thinks I'm queer because I wear my sister's clothes.
The world's going to hell, and I don't even care. As long as I can have my limo and my pink and orange hair. I think this has got a bullet. What do you think?
That's pretty good. Good job.
That's good. Outstanding.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Nice performance.
Thank you, Paul.
Look at the time. I got
to
go.
For all three of us to remember that Cheech and Chong. Thank you, friend. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Jack Cell.
Tainted Love, yes, gay.
Tainted Love.
Very gay. A one-hit wonder, though.
Yeah, one-hit wonder, but what a hit it was.
Only a one-hit wonder. Hello. Beep, beep. Don and Mike show.
Dan Fogelberg.
But no, doesn't count. Different genre. Big, different era. Different big kind of gay.
Big fag, though.
Meet my old lover at the grocery store.
And the thing about...
turned into...
What's the one it was? We were just talking about that. Oh, bum, 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 bum. Tainted Love?
Yeah.
Didn't they just turn that into a song called SOS?
Yeah, it's...
They sampled it, right?
God damn, drives me crazy.
Huh? Love
drives me freaking nuts. It's like, all my life, I turn on the radio, I've tried to escape that song. And now,
I was a big fan of the album with Dan Fogelberg and Tim Weisberg. It was called Twin Sons of Different Mothers.
That just was folk delightful. Fag.
Folk fag.
Yeah, folk fag.
Yeah, but it would not be 80s fag.
No,
it would be folk fag.
That'd be folk fag, right? You have hippie fag right. as well.
I just love Auld Lang Syne. I do.
Run for the roses.
I truly run for the roses.
Longer than.
Because then we can move into the whole, and this might get you upset, the whole Jackson Browne thing. She's got to be somebody's baby.
Hey, he's not a fag.
I knew that would get you upset.
Jackson Browne.
Because you're a big fan, aren't you?
Yeah, Jackson. Now listen, Jackson Browne.
No, not on empty.
Goddamn right.
Yeah.
Beat up Daryl Hannah?
Yeah, something like that.
Hey, thanks, Rob.
He beat up Daryl
Hannah.
That's
Daryl
your criteria,
Hannah.
Is it? Defense.
He's a rocker.
That's another thing we
but can. Don't you think that the Dan Fogelberg, Kenny Loggins kind of, it's a transition. They're transitional artists as
okay.
you go into.
Here's another one. Although he never really rocked so much. Michael McDonald is another guy who now I would consider to be like faggy.
Dan Fogelberg never rocked, correct?
Right. No.
He never rocked.
Loggins rocked.
Kenny Loggins rocked.
Footloose.
His mama could dance, but his daddy couldn't.
Hey, I love that song.
Yeah. Winnie the Pooh doesn't know what to do. Got a honey jar.
That's a push the button for me, man. Dan Fogelberg is goodbye.
What about Loggins?
Loggins depends on the Loggins.
How about like, Loggins if he's sitting in with Jimmy Messina?
Sarah.
You like Loggins and Messina, some of their songs.
Not really. Never, you know, I don't know. No, I didn't. I didn't. There's a lot of people that I didn't like.
I'm all right.
I'm all right from Caddyshack?
Yeah.
Saturday night, my man, no mate, hit me no good game. No, yuck.
How's that album going up?
Yuck, yuck, yuck. And then, I know he's not gay, his music's not gay, but I brought up that Michael McDonald thing. Like,
right.
What happened to that guy? I mean, he was the singer of the Doobie Brothers.
I saw him on Emerald.
And then, like...
You know that's an interesting choice for an artist, when they sit in with Emeril Lagasse on the Food Network.
And, you know, then his song, he's redoing a Marvin Gaye song that's a commercial, and then the next thing you know, you're buying...
Well, he made a Motown album.
Yeah, you're buying his album in Starbucks. And it's like, what happened to you?
I sold out today.
Why do they all do that? Rod Stewart did that where he sang the classics, and now Rod Stewart has a new album coming out where he's just going to be doing rock songs.
Well, I think when an artist...
redoing rock songs.
When artists, if you're not the Rolling Stones, you know, you get to be a certain age and you've got to make a choice right. as to, you know, how you're going to do this and how you're going to, you know, continue to get the bucks coming. You got to figure it out.
Well, what you do is you play at the craft fair.
Yeah.
I mean, that's
what you
do.
That's, I disagree. I think if I was Michael McDonald, I'd rather make a deal with Starbucks just to pay me an assload of money rather than going out and having to go to the state fair.
I'm sorry. It's a little thing called performer's integrity.
I knew that was coming.
That I believe that there's nothing wrong with whoring yourself out to do commercials. We do all the time. I mean, it'd be good for Michael McDonald.
Don't you think the grassroots, though, would jump at an opportunity like that if Starbucks came knocking?
Now that's truly a funny concept. That Starbucks would ever consider the grassroots for that anybody would ever consider the grassroots
right.
for anything.
Did I tell you that I went out to see Heart in Las Vegas?
Yeah,
and they were at the Luxor, and I would say I'm being kind when I say it was about one third full.
Ouch.
It was about one third full.
How much did the fat one take up on the stage?
The fat one was just as fat as she's been. She was no fatter. But she is the real deal. She has got the most amazing voice. She sounds like she did back when they first recorded Barracuda. It was amazing. But there was nobody there. And I was saying to myself, all right, what's at work here? People are, you know, time has passed me by. because I don't think anybody appreciates that band.
Whoever thought that Heart would be playing in Las Vegas?
Yeah, no.
You know what I mean?
No.
It's like for Barry Manilow to end up there or Celine Dion, that's understandable. Even Elton John.
Right.
That's understandable.
Right.
But for Heart...
Heart, I always thought of as a real rock and roll act.
Now, and they were not like at the Hard Rock Cafe in Vegas, right?
They were at the Luxor showroom. They were there. I mean, they were at the big... Yeah, they were at the Pyramid.
Let me.
But I mean, why weren't they sold out? I don't get that. I still don't.
Maybe because they haven't had a hit record in 20 years.
That might have something to do with it. But I think they had enough hits where they would still be able to fill a room.
I would like to take back my Michael McDonald, and I would like to have that stricken from the record because I'm forgetting about Wham. You know, and forget the fact that George Michael is a card-carrying Fagolini.
Right.
That music
about the music. We're
that music is very gay. Wake me up before you go-go.
Andrew
Ridgeley.
Young Guns, Go For It.
What was?
I said Young Guns, Go For It was one of their songs. It was a Wham song.
Wham.
How about that?
And that was
isn't
very
that
gay.
Something?
How about that?
Can you name what is the stupid T-shirt that he wore in that dumb video? It was a white T-shirt that had, like, one word on it, or two words.
Oh, someone said AF me.
Suck this.
That's what it said.
Did it say relax?
No, I don't think it...
That's Frankie Goes to Hollywood.
And I'm also thinking it kind of looked...
Well, out of the closet gay.
It also kind of looked like the I'm With Stupid T-shirts, you know, where it had the big... was it Choose Life? Does this now make me the fag of all time because I knew that Choose Life?
Frankie Goes to Hollywood, though, with probably one of the most instructional lyrics ever written in a song.
You know, yeah, and when
because I seriously think about that lyric occasionally.
When they talk about what you can and cannot do on the radio,
uh-huh.
You can play that song, and I guarantee we couldn't just read the lyrics to that song.
Right.
Relax.
Don't do it.
When you want to...
But it's so true.
When you want to...
You don't know the lyrics.
Hold on. Rob,
yeah, no.
Rob. Come on.
Okay, all right.
You don't know that lyric?
Now I remember.
Relax, don't do it. There you are.
It's really saying don't be tense.
Relax, don't do it.
Just completely let yourself go.
I remember.
And you want to...
They were named after a headline in the newspaper.
Bow, bow, bow.
Yeah. Relax, don't do it. When you want to get to it.
Relax.
Don't do it. When you want to...
So much music.
But you want to do that.
Where's the melody?
Hey, there was a fine melody.
Hey, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Don and Mike.
Yeah.
Haircut 100.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, but not enough hits. Only one, really.
I like their...
Love Plus One.
I like the novelty spinoff group that had the funny tunes. Shave and a Haircut 100. That is such a...
Thank you.
Thank you. I'm here always. You know, sometimes I'm playing to an audience of one, and he's got a very large head.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello. All right.
Mike.
Yeah, you need a haircut, Baldy.
Ironic.
Hello.
Don and Mike.
Yeah, hi.
Are you aware that the Blue Oyster Cult are playing at the Rockville Town Center this weekend?
Wow.
Perfect example.
That's a mall, right?
I don't even think it's a mall.
Isn't it an outdoor mall or something?
It used to be.
Basically a parking lot.
It used to be a mall until they found out that it's possible to... I remember this because I was a kid growing up here in Rockville, Maryland. They built this thing thinking that they would draw all of these new people in,
uh-huh.
And they had all the big anchor stores, and within a year, they turned it into a parking lot. They spent like $350 million 20 years ago to build this gigantic shopping center that nobody came to.
No one came.
And he's right. They turned it into a gigantic parking lot. It's very accessible now for the subway, for Metro.
Yeah, go out and see the cult.
So who is the cult there?
More cowbell.
Yeah. That's right. Don't fear the reaper. We need more cowbell. Jesus. That's what they should be doing.
But they've got integrity, as you were mentioning before. They're still playing. They're still rocking and rolling.
They're getting it done.
Making the music.
Get her done.
Get her done.
Burning for you. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Boyle.
Hey, hi there.
Hey, how about Frankie Goes to Hollywood?
Hi, Don and Mike?
Yes.
Hi.
Hi.
Human League, extremely gay.
Human League gay.
Human League definitely counts.
Correct, yes. I'm only human.
That's about as gay as you get.
Deep feeling fascination.
Love the show, guys.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
You got such a good memory for that stuff.
No way.
Well, Tarzan Boy, that's not a gay song.
Oh, I don't know.
No, that's a good song. I like Tarzan Boy.
Oh,
Come on. Stay with the program, boys. Hello. Not in Mike's show.
Stay on message.
Hello.
Hey, how about Erasure?
Yeah, Erasure would count.
Don't you get me now, don't you get me now, don't you get me now, don't you get me now.
So,
I need your soul. I want to eat you.
There you go. That's the exact recreation.
What's the lyric when you did the beginning?
What's it? What is that? What was that?
Don't you
give me now, don't you give me now, don't you give me now, don't you give me now,
don't you give me now,
don't you give me now.
Oh, I'm gay. I love that song.
Hello, Don Mike Show. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, how?
I don't remember who it was, but who sang Take On Me? I just remember that video.
That would count, too.
Only a one-hit wonder, though.
Yeah, and we're throwing out the one-hit wonders, right?
And that video.
Take On Me. How gay a lyric is that?
But
that's something you don't want to say when you go into prison.
The video at the time was really cutting edge because it had like that animation that would look like sketching.
Blending into real life and back.
Paul Young stole that too.
It's called rotoscoping. I think.
Didn't Paul Young have a video with that too?
I'm not familiar with all the Paul Young videos like you are, Mike. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
I have to go check your box set.
Hello. Hello.
Baltimore was gay. Everything.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Was not. Tarzan Boy was not gay. Hello. Don and Mike Show.
You know, it makes me realize just how many artists came out the 80s that did that.
The 80s were gay.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Gay.
I got news for you. So are the 2000s.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I hadn't heard.
The 90s were straight, though.
Radio gods.
No. Our last straight decade was the 50s.
Someday, we'll go back.
America went gay in the 60s.
With Rock Hudson.
The Beatles.
Radio gods.
And Vince Lombardi.
Vince Lombardi
was in the closet all the
back
years.
In the 40s, you know.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike.
Hey, Packer backers.
Packer fans.
Hey, Packer fans.
Who's playing Erasure?
Don and Mike.
Hey, star. Warning! Don't you give me no, don't you give me no, don't you give me no, don't you give me no.
Come on now, get into your unis.
Listen to a flock of seagulls.
I ran so far away, star. Marie and I were listening to that in the car, in my Plymouth.
Oh, hold on now. Here's one. Hold on, I'll let this guy go first, because I just thought of another one. Hello, Donna Mike Show, that would be on the fence.
Oh. Donna Mike.
Yeah, what's up?
Hey, first of all, the soft cell is redone by Rianne.
That's it.
SOS, right.
SOS.
Thank you.
And also Pet Shop Boys.
Yeah, we had them.
How about, here is Mr. 45 Minutes Ago. Let's welcome Mr. 45 Minutes Late.
Sorry, all those 80 gay bands.
Come to class on time.
Bye-bye. Now, she was certainly not gay. Tony Basil, or Basil, whatever her name is.
Mickey?
Right. Yeah, she had that hot video.
Hey, Mickey, you're so fine, you blow my mind. Hey, Mickey.
Is that gay?
Hey, Mickey, no.
More of a novelty, I think.
It's a dance record, and it's a chick.
It gets a pass like that.
And it's a little sexy.
Gay. But it's a one-hit wonder.
Yeah.
Of course, anytime you would see, and I played that in clubs, anytime you would see somebody dance to that, a guy dancing to that song,
the effort.
Impossible not to make him look gay when he was dancing. Because it's kind of a dun 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 dun. Whoa!
Hello, Don Mike Show.
Hello.
Hello, you're on the air.
Yes, hi. Who's more gay, Journey or Foreigner?
Oh, Journey. With no offense to Ross Valerie, who's listening out in Northern California. I'll say this, though. REO Speedwagon, more gay than Journey.
Yes.
Well, that's a good point.
REO Speedwagon, absolutely gay.
REO Speedwagon or Styx, which is more gay?
Oh, REO Speedwagon.
Thank you.
Styx has their moments.
And don't forget Air Supply.
Well, now, come on. Yeah, that's gay, but that's gay like soft rock gay. It doesn't really count. Everybody
Foreigner
knows.
Or Kansas, who's more gay? Foreigner.
Wow, that's
Kansas.
Tough.
Think so, Kansas?
All we are is dust in the wind. Hold on, and think about this with Foreigner. Because I'm a dirty white boy. I mean, Foreigner had their moments.
Got a point.
You know, towards the end, they went all wimpy with that, you know. I'm waiting.
Waiting for a girl like you.
Yeah. Hello there. Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hi, turn that thing down, please.
I got two. Naked Eyes.
Absolutely gay, right?
And Dead or Alive.
You know what? I think that's where we're going to end it because this guy is a winner. Dead or Alive.
Yep.
You spin me round like a record, round, round.
What's the name of the group that did Wild Wild West?
The Escape Club.
Yeah, that was a one-hit wonder, though, right?
Nope, they had another one.
Okay, then they count.
They had a follow-up, a ballad.
And they always had that. That's the way they talk. They had that same kind of sound.
You know, on some level, if you just the B-52s, when I first saw them,
I thought
they were super fags.
Well, he is.
Yeah. Oh, I know, but I mean, I thought the music was appeal. Yeah. I thought the music was faggy.
You could enjoy Fred Schneider's solo effort that had the song "There's a Monster in My Pants."
Tin roof, rusted.
Yeah, and I don't know how many times I played that goddamn song.
I never
knew
that the guy was gay.
No, never knew that he was tin roof. Didn't we at one?
Trying to figure out what they were saying.
It was like something like ice cream sundae.
No, I knew it right away because that's back in the days when I could hear. Tin roof, rusted.
Hello.
Now it would sound like this.
Tin roof.
Don and Mike Show.
Rusted.
Hello.
Why can't hear a thing?
Gay 96. Hello, Gay 96.
I know.
No, no one's answering to the new moniker.
Thought they'd missed dial.
Homo 1067.
Yes, I was out of suggestion for Don Mike.
Yes, you're talking with us. Welcome to Homo 1067.
Fantastic. Book of Love.
Pardon me?
Book of Love.
What did he say?
Book of Love.
By ABC.
Book of Love.
Book of Love by ABC.
Song called Boy, of course.
What?
The band is called Book of Love, or Look of Love, which
it's
is...
called
Oh, now I go back to the 50s for that. Oh, I wonder him.
That's not gay.
It's doo-wop. Well, he was mentioning something else.
Which incidentally is what happens when you splash water on an Italian fella. It's some doo-wop. Put some doo on you, wop.
LBB, first thing in the morning.
Chapter 1 says you love her with all your heart. Chapter 2...
That's not gay. That's like at the hop. At the hop's not gay. At the hop.
Give her just one more chance. In chapter 4...
At the hop.
Well, I wonder... And then there's the one that we both always do. Chantilly lace and a pretty face and a ponytail hanging down as big as a rock and a giggling top. Makes the world go round, 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 into the world like a big eye girl. It's so funny to see my mind, but feel real loose like a long neck to the girl.
Oh, baby, that's what I like.
Very good. Thank you.
Well, there you go.
Thank you very much.
That's about as good as we can do. let's lock the doors.
Yeah.
See you tomorrow, everybody.
Good night.
We'll see you tomorrow.
Number 4 Arbitron rated. The Don and Mike Show.
Is it so wrong for them to want to have a normal child? It's normal to want to be normal.
Spoken like a true circle queen. These skinny, socially privileged white people get to draw this neat little circle. Everyone inside the circle is normal. Everyone outside the circle should be beaten, broken, and reset so they can be brought into the circle. Failing that, they should be institutionalized. Worse, pitied.
So it's wrong to feel sorry for this little boy?
Why would you feel sorry for someone who gets to opt out of the inane, courteous formalities, which are utterly meaningless, insincere, and therefore degrading? Kids that pretend to be interested in your back pain or your excretions or your grandma's itchy place. Can you imagine how liberating it would be to live a life free of all the mind-numbing social niceties? I don't pity this kid. I envy him.
The Don and Mike Show.
Kid with autism.
House.
On House. And not to keep this whole gay thing going.
Yes.
Ace of Base.
Here's the sun of your days. Good times. Good times. Good times. With the Don and Mike Show.
Really, everybody, we gotta lowball this now. If you'll pardon the pun. Because we could really do a whole show with this. We do have...
It's embarrassing, right?
Over 2,000 songs. I was just back
that first hour did fly by.
Maybe someday we'll do the all-gay song show, but...
Complete with the music. And we'll play like 5 seconds of each song.
God, we'd have great homo ratings on that day.
We sure would. You know, you'd kind of like it, wouldn't you?
Of course I would.
It'd be wonderful.
Of course I would. I know there's no bigger fan of these fag songs than me.
They've given us great music.
I'm a big homo music lover.
Then we could tie each other up in saran wrap.
And we'd have to bring some oil.
Now you're just teasing.
Mm-hmm. Now, let me see. Okay, please, no more with that, Joe. We'll come back to that another day. God knows we ran that into the ground. I've got so many tapes
We rarely start with tapes. Hold on a second. And I got something from Mike here. Something I think you'll like that I found on the BBC.
Oh, very good.
Tapes. Hold on. Let me see which machine are the tapes in. Let me just see. Tapes. Clay Aiken. There should be Clay Aiken. Okay. Good. Found the right disc. Okay.
Hello, Clay. Trina.
All right. So, Clay Aiken, last night on Larry King. Watching this with my girlfriend last night. She is really, incidentally, just a find. I'm finding myself pretty much crazy about her. I'm happy saying that. She yesterday, though, got me when I arrived home from work. Wednesday night is our regular date night when she comes over and makes dinner, and then and we watch TV, and then, you know, she goes home because we both have work the next day. I got home last night, and she was already there and was cooking, and it was very nice. We worked into a very nice routine. And I said, I'm, you know, slightly grumpy, as I always am when I get home. You know, I just need to unwind.
Right.
Mainly, you know, Danny needs vodka. So walk in the door, and I go, hey, what's happening?
It's your body clock.
I go, what's happening? And she says, not much. Now, keep in mind, she had spent most of the day during the show. She was out at my house yesterday sitting waiting for some repairman to come by to fix something that was wrong with my oven that I didn't even know about. But okay, she figured out from reading the book and found Frida's files and said, you're under warranty for this. So
right,
I'll sit out here and I'll make dinner while I'm waiting for the guy to come. So she's really good that way. And I got home and I was like, hi, how are you today? She says, oh, I'm really great. I had a bad day at work, but everything is okay. I said, yeah, you know, I'm fine. I'm normal. She said, incidentally, before you go upstairs and change your clothes or whatever you're going to do, where should I park the U-Haul? And I stopped for a second. I said, what are you talking about? And I was more than sure. I mean, I had just walked in the door.
Yeah.
And she said, where should I put the U-Haul? And I said, what U-Haul? And she said, well, I thought you said I could move some of my stuff in. And I said, hey, you know what, Janet? I said you could bring some stuff over. And she said, hey, I'm kidding.
Yeah, you would have seen the U-Haul, but you were pretty focused.
Yeah, she said, that's a joke.
Right.
Am I not allowed to joke? I said, no. Jokes do not happen until drink hits stomach.
Right.
that's when we joke.
That's right. You weren't ready for levity at that moment.
Oh, no. She's a funny girl. And then I was also thinking about, as I do often, about Frida, that up in heaven, Frida must truly be laughing now because, especially since Max has died, my little dog Max, now every day I take Colonel Klink for a very long walk.
Right.
I do exactly what Frida had urged me to do for, you know, virtually the entire time that we were married. You know, please go on a walk with me and the dog. Please go on a walk with me and the dog.
I remember that.
And I would say, you know, I hate nature. It's so boring. Only if I can bring an iPod with me.
Well, and then something always happens, like, you know, the leg of a deer or something.
Yeah, and I thought today as I was out walking the dog, you know, and now I'm in the routine where I see the neighbors and they're like, you know, hi. It's, yeah, every day at the same time.
You mean and you're doing nature and chatting with neighbors?
Well, I try to keep the chatting to the minimum
with
the neighbors, but when you're walking by and they're standing in their front yard, kind of hard to avoid the contact, much as I'd love to. And I got a feeling today, I just looked up in the sky and I said, you really are laughing at this, aren't you? You know, this is what you've left me with. This is what I'm reduced to now. Mm-hmm. I hope you're happy, Frida. This is what I'm thinking in my head.
Are you doing the walking of Plink out of an obligation to Clink because he's lonely, or are you doing it? But you're not doing it because you just enjoy it now all of a sudden.
No, I figured out a way I run on the treadmill in the morning, and then I normally do like a 15-minute cool down. So I thought what I'll do is I'll run my, you know, 3 miles on the treadmill. My weight is instantly down to 203.
You're almost there. I knew you would.
203.
I knew you'd do it.
So close. God damn it.
What is your mark is just to break the 200 mark?
That's all I care about now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you'd be 199 for the rest of your life.
I'd be happy. Die happy. Yeah. I don't care. Size 36, fine.
Well, hell, you're there.
Well, no, I'm not, Mike. Not really.
Have some candy. Joe's got a S-load of candy in the back. I didn't eat it all.
Carla know about that?
Actually, Carla does know about that because...
does she know that you've got quite the habit going now?
Yeah, but I, you know, it's just... You're going to laugh at me if I tell you what I'm going to tell you. I don't want to be mocked.
Why?
Because it'll be bad for my head. It'll be bad psychologically if I tell you.
Well, now you have to tell us, though.
Huh?
Yeah. You have started something now that you must finish. Please.
I didn't eat any candy yesterday.
That's good. Congratulations.
Right, Joe? John, I didn't eat any yesterday, right? John's pretty good at knowing that.
Now, hold on. We have to bring everybody
so
up to speed.
So yesterday I had my good day.
Mike, let's bring everybody up to speed. I don't know how often it's been, but...
I've been eating candy a lot.
Yeah, and...
Not insane, but I've been eating enough of
Michael
it.
Michael, leave the studio and say, you know, I hear him say, Joe, do you have candy?
Well, Joe, this week, I think it was Monday or Tuesday, Joe came in, and I had not... I was so bad like 2-3 weeks ago that I would actually say, hey, Joe, we need more candy, and I'd give him some money to go buy candy, and then I'd eat the candy. Then I didn't give him money for candy, and then some time went where we didn't have candy, and then Joe, who occasionally will have a little candy, but Joe's not fat, so he can have candy, came in, I think, 2 days ago or 3 days ago and said, I got candy, and I immediately said, I'm ready for candy, and I went back and ate candy, and I eat snacks. And they know, really, I like these guys just fine. But when I go back there in John Norman and Joe's office, they know that I'm doing one thing. It's called grazing.
You're not going back there for conversation.
I'm not going back for conversation. I'm going back to graze. And that's what I did. I went back there and did some grazing.
Graze anatomy.
Yesterday, there was candy. There was snacks.
Mm-hmm.
And I was very, very adamant that it was hard. Because I was doing my first day without candy.
It was hard.
It was hard. And I did my first day without candy. And then... Today,
yes.
I did my I did a Weight Watchers all day yesterday. Uh-huh. I had my first day of Weight Watchers. Today I'm on my second day of Weight Watchers, and I threw in 1.5 hour on the elliptical. It gets even better.
Yeah,
and a 30-minute weight workout that I did today.
Hey, very good.
But the reason I say I don't want to be mocked is because I just started, and when you just start, it is very precarious. I did not gain all my weight back, but I gained a little bit back, and this was after the Las Vegas trip, and I have had taken a very long time getting back to this. So really, if you count it, it is only day... I really only count it almost as day one, but it's really day two. And exercise-wise, this is the very first day that I've done. And look at him laughing at me.
You would be mocked for this.
I know. You're mocking me. Mocking me. Yes. Oh, see, there's the enabler.
Joe just came running.
He just threw me my favorites.
Candy?
He just threw me my favorites. Do you want them?
Are those your favorites? What are they?
Well, they're not my favorites, but one of them is.
Butterfinger.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Little baby Butterfinger picking it up down off the floor.
And what are the others? Butterfinger, Nestle's Crunch, and a Baby Ruth. That's what he threw. And Joe's got all those back there.
So does Carla know that you've been doing all this?
Yeah, Carla knows. I mean, Carla knows that because I've been bitching about it. I've been saying, you know, I'm getting fat again, and I don't fit into this, and I don't fit into that, and I've been eating, and I've been eating badly. And, you know, it starts with a little snackaroo here at work. That's how I fall off the wagon, and that's how it gets bad again. And so... You know, as I said, it's very tenuous, and it's my second day. And, you know, after it's my second month, then I'll tell you I'm doing fine. Well, I lost 40 pounds.
I know you did. It just, I'm just mocking you for the reason you would mock me.
I don't, though. That's the difference. When it comes to weight, I give you 1,000% support.
And I give you 1,000% support.
You do not about my weight. You give me 1,000% like in about a million other things, but you don't about my weight.
I
you do it just what you were doing. You were laughing at me, showing your teeth, unhinging your jaw, laughing at me.
Hold on a second. I truly do when you were dropping the weight.
Right.
Didn't I tell you on the air and off the air? Now I'm being serious, like when we had that fight before. I told
this
you,
is not a fight.
I know it's not, but I just want you to know I'm coming in with the same passion.
Okay.
I told you even off the air.
Right.
Not that I'm a fag. You really have dropped weight.
Yeah.
And when you lost your 40 pounds, I was happy to highlight that. I liked the fact that every week you talked about that. I thought that motivated you.
Maybe this will motivate
you. What I'm laughing about is, sorry, it's the truth.
Yeah.
This is like the 10th time you've come in and announced you're starting over.
No, it's not the 10th time.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
It's not the
10th. Yes,
is it the 10th
time?
Maybe more than 10.
Yes.
More than 10?
That's why I'm laughing.
Well, see, now you're motivating me. Now you're really motivating
me. It's great to start. You just have to see it through.
Yeah, it's hard, though.
I know. I know it's hard. Tell me.
I mean, it takes a very, very long time. The good news is that with, I did not fall so far off the wagon that I was getting really, really bad again.
No, you're not jumbo size like you were before.
No, I'm, but it's tough. It's, you know, and I am starting, but that's why I was hesitant to bring it up.
I do support you in your weight loss, for God's sake. You know, really, the truth is, you know, your ass should be on the treadmill or that thing that you use, you know, three times a week minimum.
Minimum. I agree with that.
I mean, and I'm a fat ass. I say I weigh 203 pounds. I should not be screaming like I'm a skinny guy. I'm not. But I used to weigh a lot more. And you did it. You took off the 40 pounds.
I took off 44 pounds and then gained a lot back and then lost a little again and then gained some more back. And I got to stop doing that. It's really, you know.
See, right there, you're already giving us right there is like
what?
Two starting stops.
Oh, I've done it. I know I've done a bunch of them. I know. And it's frustrating. Yeah, that's why you laugh and you mock. But I think that I am, I don't know, because you know what's going to be tough for me? What's going to be tough for me is as we enter that...
holidays?
That December month is tough. Not just the holidays. You'd say the holidays started like Halloween. You can do that. But I'm going to give it a... The thing that is... Look, I can stop eating and I can go on a diet for months. I can do that. I showed that I've done that. However, what is hard for me is getting in the exercise routine. And it's just like they say, it is no easy fix. The fact is you've got to do both. You got to do both if you're going to take it off with any kind of, you know, speed. And when I say speed, I mean 2 to 3 pounds a week.
Reasonable, yeah.
That's what I'm trying to do.
Yeah, I'm doing it. I'm frustrated. I lose about 1 pound a week, maybe.
Still, that's progress.
Maybe.
Yeah, but
you're getting there.
You know, you're down. I mean, you would lose it faster if you were my weight.
But you were down too.
No, I lost it. I lost 1 to 2 pounds a week.
Yeah, but I mean,
for my weight came off slow.
Well, what I mean, it was a slow, steady, where you could see over a month's time, you could see, hey,
well,
you're looking thinner.
Yeah, I'm not concerned, really. If I do stick, I'm not worried about sticking to my diet. What I'm worried about is sticking to the exercise, because that is, I hate it.
It's easier to do once you get into the routine. Getting started on exercise is the hardest thing in the world.
I can talk to him, but I'm not talking to you, Jack LaLanne, okay? I can talk to him about this, because I know, what is your waist? Like 28? Is that what it is right now?
No, it's not that small. these jeans are 30, but I don't believe the label.
30. I got news for you. 30 waist for me? Junior high? maybe the day thing when my lead
value. What were you when you were in high school?
In junior high, I was a 36.
Oh, you were?
Yeah, I was.
That's nice.
I was a fat kid then.
Thanks, Buzz. That would make me a fat adult.
Well, no, for a kid, 36 is rather large.
I look forward to that 3 in front of my waistline.
Fat kid.
Right now it's a 4. But it is a 4 with a 0. So that's a good thing. And that, you know, when I start pushing that envelope a little bit, when there's, you know, that's when it's time to start again. But the exercise is a pain in, you're much more obsessive compulsive about something.
I couldn't do it if I didn't have an iPod.
Mm-hmm.
If I did not have, you know, 1,000 songs to take my mind off what I was doing when I go down and run. And I don't run at a fast pace. I run 3 miles in 36 minutes. So that's like a 12-minute mile. I'm not saying I'm a speed.
But I didn't run. I did about 2 miles and a quarter today. That's what I did. But it's an elliptical thing. It's not. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, I know. It's that thing where
I burned 400 calories.
It's that thing where you're going every single day.
I burned 400 calories. And the thing is, I was watching
that. I don't believe that thing either on those machines.
What's that?
With the amount of calories you're burning.
Yeah. I don't know either.
I don't buy it.
You know what I base it on? I base it on how much sweat rolls off my forehead. That's how I base it.
Hold on. Let's get a quick words and exercise update.
Let's get counterpoint.
Here we go now.
Time for counterpoint.
Plenty of room on this side, Mike. I did lose a lot of weight once. And the thing about the exercise, it's really not the exercise.
You know, he did. How much weight did you lose?
I lost 75 pounds.
Yeah. 75 pounds.
And I put it back on at a safe rate. 1 to 2 pounds a week. But the exercise really is more long term because it helps you speed up your metabolism throughout the day. So the 400 calories is a nice base mark, but the benefit you realize is from throughout the day.
Greater than that. Well, the exercise is good for me also with my other.
You're talking as a man.
Yeah, I'm fat now. Hey, you know what? I know.
I know
a lot about watching movies. Never made one.
All right, touche.
Well, I think touché. Exercise is good also for my other condition. I think that's helpful too. You know,
what for your hearing?
Stress.
Oh, stress.
Yeah, anxiety. Yeah.
Well, hearing. I don't know.
No, I think it'll help everything. I can hear everything you're saying right now. I can hear everything you're saying right now. But you know what? It has nothing. I want Joe to keep the candy back there. I want all those distractions there because you know what? It's up to me.
Mike, hold on a second. I bet all these calls are for you, but I do see one call we do have to take. Let's just go back in time a little bit when we were talking about gay music. Let's welcome our friend Homo Joe.
Hey, Don and Mike, Homo Joe here. How's it going?
Homosexual Joe. Joe.
Hello, Homo Joe.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Hi.
Hey, Homo Joe. Who, in your opinion, as a card-carrying homo, is the biggest gay band of all time? Without the obvious choices like Village People or Frankie Goes to Hollywood, what's a more mainstream?
See, I was going to go to the Village People because I thought they were so hot in all their little outfits and all the skin they were showing and stuff like that.
Sure. Who was your favorite Village person? Do you like the cop, the construction worker, the Indian?
He had less on.
Oh, the Indian.
The Indian.
Oh, that's the way he goes.
Yeah,
dark. You know, I like the outside the box type of thing. You know.
Right.
Are you? I thought you liked it inside the box.
Oh!
Joe, you're a pitcher, not a catcher. We've already established that, correct?
That's correct. That is correct.
Are you doing gay things now?
I'm doing something very gay. I'm assisting somebody at the Kennedy Center doing makeup for the Frankenstein. So how gay is that? You know,
that is a great
occupation.
Oh, fantastic. You're doing makeup.
That's very gay, Joe.
You know, you're working on it. You know, you came from the straight world, you know, when you were like a regular heterosexual guy, and you're getting gayer every day, and I think that's to be applauded.
And I have a lesbian as a roommate, so I guess I'm an honorary lesbian too now.
Oh, you have a lesbian as a roommate.
What happened to Rico or whatever his name was?
He left me.
Really? Did
he go back to... I think he got deported.
The guy that tied you up? killed your dog?
Oh, the dog drowned the dog.
He's gone.
All right, well,
so you're living with a lesbian now?
How'd that happen?
How did that happen? A friend of mine referred me, said she needed a room. She'd been from Florida, so she moved in, and it's just been kind of fun.
Is she butch or lipstick?
Is she hot?
She's very hot. We do what's called fling aerobics.
I bet you.
You do what's what?
Fling aerobics. We're up in the dungeon, and we do fling aerobics.
He said they do swing aerobics?
Sling
aerobics.
Sling.
With all that sexual deviance under one roof, Joe, is there any chemistry? Is there any chance for you two?
Yeah, I mean, when you look at her, do you feel anything in your nads?
No, not yet.
Hold on.
No,
not yet.
Who's the celebrity she most resembles?
I would say Cyndi Lauper.
Cyndi Lauper?
Uh-huh.
Well, if you want to start getting back into Poontang, you might want to think about something besides Cyndi Lauper.
One we missed. Actually. Wow, that's right up there with Christy McNichol or Jodie Foster.
No, Mike, please. Cyndi Lauper is freaking. Who's the most beautiful woman in the world? I mean, compared to Christy McNichol.
You mean Cyndi Lauper is Jessica Alba compared to Christy McNichol?
Yes, thank you.
I just know that when we used to play strip trivia, whenever we'd get a Jodie Foster or a Christy McNichol, we would always set up the warning signs.
Danger.
And just yesterday, weren't we discussing Jodie Foster and you're saying you think she's hot?
No! I said that she was hot back in Silence of the Lambs. She looked good.
She was never
and
hot.
She has hit the wall.
She was never hot, though, which is why we always used her as...
She was never hot, but she looked best Silence of the Lambs.
When a girl would call, though, and say, Jodie Foster, you're right. Immediately we would think, oh, my God.
And that was even when we were doing that in the Silence of the Lambs era.
Right,
and they would call,
right.
Because we had one. Well, we based it also on a reality situation where someone called and said she looked like Jodie Foster. We didn't make a big deal of it. And then the woman arrived. And it was perhaps the greatest troll we had ever had on strip trivia.
Was it Sid?
It was El Cid.
Why do we remember that?
Because
it was the first time we ever saw a hideous 300-pound woman with red hair naked.
Right.
It was more frightening.
I gained weight that day.
Yes.
I gained a lot of weight that day.
I lost weight.
Homosexual Joseph. So you're at the Kennedy Center.
Yes. Up until Sunday for the last performance and doing the makeup on Frankenstein.
Makeup on Frankenstein.
Ooh, really?
Yeah. All right, well, keep your mouth off his bolts.
I work his legs and arms every night.
Oh, dear. All right,
Joe.
Don, I'll send you a picture of the sling aerobics with the lesbian in it. I think you like lesbians.
Please, I love lesbians.
Sling aerobics.
All right, Joseph, see ya.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye, Homo Joe.
There he goes. Let me hear from
Homo
him.
Joe.
Sling aerobics.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
That's Frankenstein.
Hello. You're on the air, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
We're doing very well, thank you.
Hey, listen, Mike, I know you can do it on the weight loss, and I'd like to give $1 for every pound you shed to your weight goal, and you can donate it to your charity of your choice.
Okay, the charity of my choice would be Mrs.
Pocket.
Fields.
Your left pocket.
Domino's.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Ben and Jerry
Foundation.
Hey,
this is Mike's conscience calling. I'm unhappy because I eat... And I eat because I'm unhappy.
I'll get out of here. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, yeah, I have this product for Mike. It's kind of like the bark collar. Every time he opens his mouth, he'll get a little shock, so he...
Okay.
Well, I can feel the love and support, and
everybody's behind you, Mike.
I think it's
going to
work out very, very well.
Sorry
yeah.
about it. You know, maybe this would not be the time. I mentioned I had something for you, and I didn't know that we were going to go down this whole
right.
this whole road.
I can handle it.
It's really?
Rocky road. Yeah.
I have for you the five stages of drunkenness.
Oh, okay.
Followed by the five stages of sobering up.
Oh, this doesn't mean anything to me.
This is from the BBC.
I'm ready for this.
The BBC.
I am ready for this.
Okay. And the tapes that I promised also. Clay? Where's Clay Aiken? Clay, are you there?
I'm crazy.
Oh, yes.
He's crazy.
Yes, he is.
Okay, tapes. Well, I'll do this for you now, but please remind me when we come back.
All right, these are the five stages of drunkenness and the five stages of sobering up.
Yeah, listen to this.
Is it funny or is it serious analysis?
No, it's. That's why I wanted to bring it to your attention.
Because you know I take this very serious. Lee.
Do you think that these are, these are all obvious stages of drunkenness. Tell me which ones you think apply to you.
Very good.
When you're drinking.
I'm ready.
Stage number one is feeling clever. This is when you suddenly become an expert on every subject in the known universe. You know everything, and you want to pass on your knowledge to anyone who will listen. This makes for an interesting argument when both parties are clever. Stage number one of being drunk, according to the BBC, is being clever.
I don't think I would put it that way. I think it's maybe British speak when they're doing that. I would say you feel confident and you feel relaxed, and if that makes you feel more clever, I would agree with it, but I just wouldn't put it that exact way.
Number two stage, attractive. This is when you realize you are the most attractive person in the entire bar, and everybody fancies you. You can go up to a perfect stranger knowing that they fancy you and they really want to talk to you. Bear in mind that you are still drunk, clever, so you can talk to this person about any subject under the sun.
I would say that that is true to a degree, that you're not... I don't say you feel like you're the most attractive person in the room. You feel less unattractive.
Ah. Stage number three, rich. This is when you suddenly become the richest person in the room.
Uh-huh.
You buy drinks for the entire bar because you have a bottomless wallet. You make bets at this stage because you are still clever drunk. So naturally you will always win. It doesn't matter how much you bet because you are drunk rich. You buy drinks for everyone you fancy because you are clearly still the most attractive drunk present.
I'd have to say yes to all of that.
All right, number four. This is the reason that I saw this and thought of you.
Okay.
Drunk invincible. You are now ready to pick fights with anyone and everyone, especially with those whom you have been betting or arguing. This is because you are now drunk invincible. At this point, you can go up to the partners of the people who you fancy and challenge them to a battle of wits or strength or a physical fight. You have no fear of losing because you are drunk invincible. You are drunk clever. You're drunk rich. And you're more drunk attractive than ever before.
I have never heard anything more true.
And then finally, stage number five, step number five, invisible drunk. This is the final stage of drunkenness. At this point, you can do anything because you are now invisible. You can dance on the table to impress the people who you fancy because the rest of the people in the room cannot see you. You're invisible to the people who want to fight you because you're invincible drunk.
Yeah.
You can walk through the streets singing at the top of your lungs about how much money you have because you are rich drunk and no one can see and hear you because you're still clever drunk.
Yeah, all of the above. Fantastic.
All right, well, hold on then. I'll just follow it up with, and you tell me if these apply to you.
Okay.
The five stages of sobering up.
Incidentally, if you're keeping track, the only stage that didn't apply to me was stage number one in
feeling
that first
clever.
List.
Clever. Feeling clever.
All right. Yeah, I feel more, you know,
okay,
I just feel
here
confident.
We go. The five stages of sobering up.
Oh, no fun coming here.
Stage number one.
Yeah.
Stupid.
Right.
As you regain consciousness, you begin to enjoy the headache, the churning stomach, and the cold sweats. You realize you've lost not only several hours of your life, but the ability to concentrate. You are stupid.
Yeah.
And will remain so for a minimum of 12 hours.
Yes, 100%. Yep, absolutely.
Step number two of sobering up. Ugly. Never entirely happily with the effects of the bathroom mirror. First thing you're horrified to discover, you have now become uglier than you previously thought possible. You have bloodshot eyes and a glorious collection of spots, but you are shaking so much that your grandfather looks healthier. Unfortunately, you are still too drunk, stupid, to know better and try and shave while you are shaking.
Nah, not all of that one. Not all, but I do feel ugly. Yeah.
Number three, sober up poor. Having crawled out of bed and gotten dressed, you're about to run out the door when you discover that the money that was to last you the entire week is now missing from your wallet. Being drunk stupid, you have no idea what happened to it, but the traces of DNA on your clothes allow the possibility you might have treated everyone to some type of party. You could not have been that stupid, you think, and you would remember being robbed so you weren't robbed. You finally have to think you just bought food and drinks for everybody.
Yeah. I say yes enthusiastically, yes.
Stage four, fragile. You are now stupid, ugly, and poor, and your consequently fragile self-esteem plummets.
Oh, you bet.
Your already fragile physical condition ensures that you feel liable to shatter if anyone even speaks to you.
Amen.
Stage number five.
God damn.
Conspicuous. This is the final stage of sobering up.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, everyone can spot this conspicuous condition and its cause from a great distance.
Right.
Even worse, they know that they can complete your misery by making fun of you. And you're too stupid to retaliate, too fragile to hit them, too poor to bribe them, and too ugly to hide from them.
Shut up. You made Mike cry.
God, sorry. Damn. That was not the name of the segment. Make Mike cry.
You know what I will do for you over the weekend?
What's that?
And if you will allow me to do this.
Of course.
I will write my own. And I think I
Please
speak
do.
To this. I'm not sure whether it will be five or whether it will be four.
Whatever.
But I will give you a minimum of four levels of drunkenness and sobering up.
Please do.
And now I will not be, I'll have my kids this weekend, so I won't be personally experiencing it, but I will think very hard about the last time I was like that, and I will try my very best to really nail it and recreate what the phases of my drunkenness are, and then
Good.
The phases of my sobering up, because I think really that was very British, and I think mine might be, I think people might be able to relate to mine a little bit
All
better.
All right, so that's a homework assignment.
Homework assignment over the weekend, I'd love to do it for you.
Okay, beautiful.
Very good.
We'll look for that on Monday.
Four stages of drunkenness.
And now these tapes. Oh, we got to do a break. Let me just tell you, tapes that you'll want to hear. This whole Clay Aiken thing with Larry King last night.
Ah.
Yeah. Even Larry softball snowballs chance in hell of asking anything of anybody, Larry King, even he pushes. He pushes Clay.
Larry.
Pushes him up.
Are you gay? Do we get the... Now, you were playing that Clay Aiken tape. Is that from Larry, too? Does he do
yep.
the Clay Aiken giggle?
Yes,
the
he
uncomfortable
does.
I am gay giggle?
Yes, he does.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I don't know if you happened to watch the... Crazy Crocodile Hunter's wife last night.
Oh, I felt so bad for her because she was with the absolute mistress of making people cry.
You know, as someone who went through losing, you know, the love of my life, first I thought it was a little early for her to be doing that interview, but then I thought, no, that's how she's lived her life in the public eye.
Right.
And Steve Irwin has that, they have that big zoo over in Australia.
And Queensland.
And, you know, and she's showing that he was a good guy. And it seemed like she was saying a lot of stuff that was very loving. And then every time she would do that, Barbara Walters would, like, drag her back into it. But she had her moments where, and maybe it's because it's so soon after he died, but we have some cuts where I think she's just crazy.
Huh. I mean, Mrs. Irwin?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. It was, well, here's one. Here's
wow, one. That's interesting.
Here's one cut. Now, just my humble opinion.
Okay.
Crocodile Hunter's wife is crazy.
Okay.
And when we went up there, it was the most magical place on earth. In the daytime, it was beautiful. But at night, these huge fruit bats would come out, and the mangroves and melaleuca trees would look mysterious and eerie in the dark, and we'd spot crocodiles, and a million bugs would come out and fly through our spotlight, fly down my shirt, in my mouth, in my hair, and then the insectivorous bats came down, and they would hunt the insects right in front of me, and you'd spot the eyeshine of this giant crocodile, and instead of going away from it, Steve would idle towards it. Stinking, hot, humid, unbelievable tropics. It was the most beautiful trip ever.
She's crazy.
Well, I will tell you, if she was, he was, because
absolutely,
they were both digging on that. You know?
Yeah, right. When I say crazy,
I think she's got to be a little crazy because he was a little crazy.
She's talking about thousands of bugs crawling all over her.
I didn't know where you were going with
it. It was the most beautiful time I've ever had in my life.
Bugs, and then the bats came down. You'd love that, Rob. Then the bats would come down to eat the bugs.
Nah, there's a whole bunch of tapes of her with similar stuff, and then. Everybody's heard the T.O. stuff, right? You T.O.'d out.
Right.
Oh, but have you heard about Herr Hasselhoff?
No.
Oh, my goodness. David Hasselhoff. And this,
what's he done now?
Got a break first. And then we'll come back and tell you the story of David Hasselhoff. And listen to a tape of him. And you tell me if he doesn't sound effed up in this tape.
Oh, good.
He's doing a TV interview. Here's the very beginning of it.
It is so blown out of proportion that when I heard this, I went, what? And my daughter was going, oh, great, Dad, now I got to go to school. And all the kids look at me. She scratched herself. I was on an airplane, and I said, oh, I found out later it was the cat who scratched her.
Okay, that'd be about stage three.
Okay, thank you, Mike. Thank you.
Oh, wow.
Look at him, the Herr Hasselhoff.
Hasn't Herr Hasselhoff recently gone through a rather troubling divorce?
He has.
Yeah. That'll make you drink.
We'll talk to the mayor. Talk about the mayor of Germany, Herr Hasselhoff. But he's still popular there, right? Right, Klaus?
I'm perfectly all right. I'm invisible.
You know, you've been doing such a fine job. I'm thinking about changing your name from Kong to Klaus. How would you feel about that?
I'd go for that. I have to find the
Klaus Spiewak.
Love that. Klaus Spiewak.
Klaus von Spiewak.
Klaus von Spiewak.
Please.
Klaus von Spiewak.
And you could read that movie about Klaus von Bülow.
Yeah.
And get all kinds of tapes.
I had no idea Sonny was going to die. I had no idea. My name is Klaus von Spiewak.
KBS.
Yes. Yeah, now you've got the name you've always wanted.
Now, that is a movie that I watch every time.
Hard to find it, isn't it?
The Klaus von Bülow movie, if that's on, I'll watch that. You know, another one I'll watch that it's not exactly in the same vein, but I'll watch every time,
right,
is the one where Jeff Daniels kills his wife and, what's her name? Jagged Edge.
Oh, Jagged Edge with Beau Bridges. Jeff Bridges.
Jeff Bridges and what's her name? Who's the broad? She was in she was the crazy one in Michael
Fatal
Douglas.
Attraction.
Yes, in the Michael Douglas.
Glenn Close.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I watched that one. Always
with that knife,
because he came up with this plot to kill his wife, and it's a whole backwards convoluted thing, and he cons her at the last minute.
Yeah, it's one of those movies where you wait till the bitter end to find out what's going on.
She finds the box in the closet that's got the typewriter in it. It's like all of a sudden he just effed her silly, and she just got him off on a murder charge, and she's like, oh, I've got the stink of murder all over me. I will stick with that movie every time.
I love me the Jeff Bridges.
We should break.
Oh, I thought you had something important to say there, Klaus.
Do not dispute him. He is Klaus von Spiewak.
We'll be right back.
Number 4 Arbitron rated. The Don and Mike Show.
Good afternoon. Your question, you're on with Professor Beverly. Your question, please.
Yes, I have to say that living in New York for... Let me turn this down. Hold on a second. I'm sorry.
Okay, fine. It's 43 minutes after the hour. We have another 7 minutes and then we're out of here. Are you back?
Yes, I'm a lifelong New York City resident. As far as being poor or feeling poor, I have to say that one thing that has made me feel poorer, probably since about last year sometime, is the fact that something has been ripped away from New York City, which I think should be brought back immediately, and that, of course, is the Don and Mike Show.
Oh, come on. Okay, thank you very much, Professor Andrew, and I'd like to thank you. Including, by the way, our new callers. And that includes the Belcher. Very funny. Ha, ha, ha.
The
ha,
Don
ha.
And Mike Show.
You. You Hamilton.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you. Broadcasting on average 5 times a week, the Don and Mike Show.
Look out!
Look out! Look out!
Yeah, watch out! I'm going to prove it now is that I'm your buddy.
All right.
That you said, because I was kidding when you said you're starting over again.
Right, right, exactly.
And I really am nothing but supportive of you, really, in real life.
No, and you've said it to me personally, privately, that you'd like to see me lose more weight.
So, not because, you know, I mean, because you
not
want
in
to.
A sanctimonious way, but you've always
because
been
you want to. I'm all for that. So, okay. Now, I mean, really no BS.
Yes.
I'll give you a real tip that I bet you did not know.
What?
Buzz's birthday is Monday.
All right. Well, I think really in order to make you feel better, I've got to forget that.
No. No, you don't have to forget it to make me feel better.
Right.
I'm telling you now so that on Monday you're not caught with your pants down.
Okay.
You understand?
Yeah, you're telling me too soon.
It's only Thursday.
Yeah, you're telling me too soon. You should say... Rob, call me Monday morning.
What time?
Whenever you want.
I've got an email over the weekend.
An email over the weekend would be appreciated. Right, right. Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, exclamation point.
Okay, all right, that'll be good. I'll get him some size 30 pants. Thank you. Thank you for
I'm helping
that.
Out because
I could have
laid you out there because I know on Monday, I mean, we've got a whore coming in. I mean, excuse me, we have an exotic dancer coming in for
right.
Buzz. You know, Buzz always goes all the way with these sex shows.
All the way.
For his birthday goes all the way. He has full intercourse.
Around
the
world. I really hope this is a real good one for you, Buzz. I really
you.
Do.
So do I. Thank you for that.
First
I wish
one
you
in
did. Oh, really? Is it a local talent?
Same talent.
Same talent.
But
same great talent.
New room. New big room for Buzz. So.
Plenty of room for
dancing.
He's got more room back there. You could even wheel in a cot.
So that's my tip to
thank
you.
Thank you. Monday?
Monday is his birthday.
And how old will you be?
53, I think.
Yeah, right. That's funny, Buzz.
53. Maybe in the 70s.
Underpants older than that.
No,
you don't wear underpants. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hello.
Hi there.
Hey. You can dump this if you want, but I got a joke.
Hey, you can dump this if you want. I'm hanging up on you. Bye-bye. David Hasselhoff.
Yes.
Here is the deal with Hasselhoff. He's on a... Now, as you mentioned, he's going through a messy divorce.
Yeah, I heard that recently, and he was kind of busted up about it.
And he's, like, going through some kind of Alky program or something.
Is he really?
Right, so...
Sorry
to
laugh.
And he sounds...
I'm all for him.
He sounds effed up on this tape. Here is the background on this. He's on an airplane.
Right.
He's had a couple of cocktails, and he makes a call home. Okay, from the phone on the airplane.
Okay.
Skyphone,
right. Mm-hmm. Skyphone. Incredible invention and still really, really cheap if you're on a phone.
Oh, yeah.
Forget it.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever been drunk on an airplane.
He calls home and he gets his daughter on the telephone. And she says, I've cut my wrists. So what he does is he hangs up with her, then he calls 911 from the airplane.
Okay.
He calls 911. 911 shows up at his house. As it turns out, his daughter was not trying to kill herself. She simply, well, he'll explain it here.
All right.
What happened to
I think
her,
I can probably figure it
what
out.
What happened yeah. to her wrists, but just listen to Hasselhoff.
Perhaps an overreaction on the part of Herr Hasselhoff?
Oh, yeah, and... You know, there's a thought out there that he's doing this to portray the wife that's come out now and said he's doing this to make me look like a bad mother. Like as soon as he leaves the country or leaves on a trip, our daughter kills herself.
Sure.
So
okay.
Here's how he defends that. Herr Hasselhoff. He's the best.
It is so blown out of proportion that when I heard this, I went, what? And my daughter was going, oh, great, Dad, now I got to go to school. I have all the kids look at me. She scratched herself. I was on an airplane, and I said, oh, I found out later it was the cat who scratched her. My other daughter told me she scratched herself. So I thought, oh, my God, my daughter's cut herself. Oh, you know, not to kill herself. She scratched herself. I don't know whether it was, I still don't know the full story, whether it was a cat or what. So I called the paramedics. And because the paramedics come in America, you have to take them to the hospital. So she's far from doing anything. I mean, the girl is gorgeous, and she's got a huge career, and she's very happy. So it was just one big ball of tabloid garbage.
It ain't just booze.
Does he sound effed up there?
He's effed up.
Great.
It might be booze. It might be something else. That is a Swiss cheese story like no
great?
Other.
How great is
she
that?
She scratched herself. The cat scratched her, and he called the paramedics.
Right.
Yeah.
How do you call 911 from a plane?
I blame T.O.'s publicist.
I was going to say that
they should have gone. I'm what they got.
Thanks, Buzz. I was just going to say, here's his daughter.
Me being here, I want to apologize to the organization for this being a distraction. This is definitely an unfortunate situation.
There she is. She goes on to say that she didn't try to kill herself.
Wow. But the Hasselhoff thing is so disjointed, it's very, very strange.
Want to hear
it
again?
He's not telling the truth.
Yeah. And the great drunken thing is that he runs forward, he almost...
He screams, and then he goes into that total mellow mood.
And think about when we get a call on the show, when we bust some guys busted our balls, and we finally back him in a corner.
Right.
You know that nervous...
Yeah. Sure.
That's what he starts with.
You know, it's funny you talk about the stages of drunkenness. Remember the guy at the bowling alley up in New York? Remember the guy that started out as he was super friendly, then he became a little aggressive, then we got tired of him, and then he ended up getting really mellow, and then he cried?
Yeah.
See, if you stayed with Hasselhoff through that interview, he probably would cry at the end of it because it's like, she's so beautiful with her career and everything.
And
I'm
so sorry, I screwed it up.
How old is this girl? Because he's talking about her going to school. And
then she's got a great film career.
Yeah, and she apparently is young enough that he would call 911 because she's not an adult, right?
Incidentally, fact check on calling the paramedics, too. I don't believe when you call paramedics, you have to go to the hospital. I don't think that's a requirement. I mean, I don't know. I'd like to get a clear fact check on that one.
Let's hear him one more time, just to hear it all in its beautiful glory. He's almost as good at Michael Hughes at just spinning in circles.
Yeah, so it's really hard to figure out, pin him down on anything.
It is so blown out of proportion that when I heard this, I went, what? And my daughter was going, oh, great, Dad, now I got to go to school. I have all the kids look at me. She scratched herself. I was on an airplane.
Okay. On an airplane.
Now, did she scratch herself or did the cat scratch her?
He doesn't seem to know.
And I said, oh, I found out later it was the cat who scratched her. My other daughter told me she scratched herself. So I thought, oh, my God, my daughter's cut herself. Oh,
okay, again, now that's contradiction after contradiction after contradiction.
He says the daughter tells him, then he finds out later the cat, then he says the other daughter told him that she scratched herself, but if somebody scratches, the words scratch and cut are very, different.
Yeah.
They're totally different. Entirely different.
That's what Colonel said.
Can you see him on the plane going, my daughter's committing suicide, I gotta call the paramedics?
You know, not to kill herself, she scratched herself. I don't know whether it was... I still don't know the full story, whether it was a cat or what. So I called the paramedics. And because the paramedics come in America, you have to take them to the hospital. So she's far from doing anything. I mean, the girl is gorgeous, and she's got a huge career, and she's very happy. So it was just one big ball of tabloid garbage.
And because the paramedics come in America, you have to go to the hospital.
How old is she?
I think I'm thinking they're 12 and 14.
Because and she's got a great career going.
She's got a great career. She's really hot.
Well, she's hooking.
She's hooking.
Not really.
She's gorgeous. Wow.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
What did T.O. get on his SATs?
Hold on. This is another joke. Friend, we're not...
Barbecue sauce.
Hey. Hey.
Listen.
Block him.
Hold on. Hey, you're still on the line, right?
Absolutely.
Area code 240.
I know you guys.
Hold on. There's a punishment coming for you.
Oh, come on!
You
know the rule. Come on here, Hasselhoff.
You don't call this show with stupid jokes and get away with it. You gotta give out your...
couldn't get through on make Don Mike laugh day.
Hold on. I'm going to try to give you two options. Either we use the software that blocks all calls from area code 240-527 blah, 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 your phone number, or... You make the proper apology at this time.
I do apologize.
That is not the proper apology.
Well, I'm an idiot.
Well, that's true. That's obvious.
Where does your mother live?
New York.
Where does she live?
New York?
No, there's a town she's supposed to live in.
Saratoga?
No.
Playing right. Hey, Joe?
Joe,
can you hear me?
Fire it up.
Joe, do it, baby.
He's talking to someone else. Yeah, I'll get him.
Okay, will you get him, John?
Yeah.
All right, there.
Guy. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
What are we doing with him?
Make him go away.
Lock him up.
What?
Block him.
It. You're blocked.
Bye. You're never calling again.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Blocked.
And in America, when the paramedics come, you go to the hospital.
We're C blockers.
That's not true.
We're call blockers.
I don't think that's true. I want a clarification on it because I don't know.
What?
I don't...
One time I had the ambulance out for Carrie. No, I honestly, I did have it out for Big Daddy one time when he was having an incident, and he came out of it, and they said there's no need for us to take him.
Now, what it might be is if there is some allegation of somebody doing harm to themselves, then a police report has to be.
Right, right.
Yeah, but that's probably it.
But as we found out with the TO thing, what's a police report worth?
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
I mean, did you,
but that's how it gets into the tabloid.
Not to belabor the stupid TO thing,
right,
which has been running to the ground. But the latest today was now all the police reports that were out yesterday,
right,
now have big spots which are blacked out. Like where it said he took 35 pills. It's like they just took a Sharpie.
They've edited it?
And just drew a black line through it.
Like the Warren Commission?
Yeah, like it never happened.
You know, man, after the whole Boulder Police Department thing, it's getting very difficult to know what comes out of those police reports.
And that T.O.'s publicist, when we were watching the feed yesterday, we thought she looked a little hagged out.
Yeah.
When I watched it last night, Key Rice, and can you tell she's the publicist? When her comment was, he's got 25 million reasons to be alive. That's what she says.
Well, she counts those every day.
Yeah. Hello.
Cat
scratch. Cat scratch, exactly.
Hey, guys. Hey. I wanted to call about the paramedic thing.
Yeah.
Last week, I actually called 911 with some chest pains, but by the time they got there, they were going away, and I refused to go to the hospital. And I just had to sign a piece of paper to say,
yeah,
didn't want to go, and that was it. So,
yeah, I agree. Well, it's Hasselhoff reality.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Although, you know, who knows? Our laws are different in different states. We found that
right
out.
Yeah, but he used the entire country. He said America.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. He did. Hello.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Very well, thank you.
I think it's actually that when you call 911, someone has to show up at the house.
No, well, what David Hasselhoff said was, if that's the law, yes, someone has to.
Let's listen to David Hasselhoff again, Mike.
Why was I answering that guy legitimately? Like they don't answer something.
It is so blown out of proportion that when I heard this, I went, what? And my daughter was going, oh, great, Dad, now I got to go to school. I have all the kids look at me.
But don't worry, because she's got a great acting career.
She scratched herself. I was on an airplane, and I said, oh, I found out later it was the cat who scratched her. My other daughter told me she scratched herself. So I thought, oh, my God, my daughter's cut herself. Oh, you know, not to kill herself. She scratched herself. I don't know whether it was.
Hold on. Now go to Mello.
If she wasn't trying to kill herself, why call the paramedics? You just
why call?
Herself.
And even if the term scratch was used,
why would you just say, honey,
you wouldn't call paramedics?
Get some back, get some Bactine, or
right,
or drive yourself down to Rite Aid.
What if the cat is a lion?
I still don't know the full story. Whether it was a cat or
now,
what?
Now he goes.
So I called the paramedics.
Here it is. Okay.
And because the paramedics come in America, you have to take them to the hospital.
There you go, Mike. You're right. According to Hasselhoff, in America.
In America, and then he goes into super mellow mode. Talking about her career.
She's a great kid.
Little like Wayne.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi, I have an answer to the paramedics thing.
Sure you do.
Well, everybody seems to. Go ahead.
All right.
Okay.
Well, what it is if you're under 18, you cannot sign off, but if you're 18, you can sign yourself out.
I don't like explanations that start with what it is.
all right. Thanks, guys.
Oh,
all right, like we pissed you off.
Bye. Okay.
What it isn't.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don. I'm an EMT in Fairfax, and yes, I can tell you exactly what the ambulance situation is.
I love you said ambulance. Thank you.
There's a law called the HIPAA laws. When you go to the hospital, you hear a doctor say HIPAA law. You have the right to refuse the ambulance, but you cannot.
Oh, that's
you,
twice.
You
now
have the right to refuse it.
Yeah, that's twice. You're an ambulance instead of ambulance.
Even
and I thank you.
Even if you're a minor, you can't?
But you can't refuse.
Oh, he got through. Oh,
that was the
he
finger
got through.
He got us.
That's
he
why
got
he
us.
Said ambulance.
Oh, man.
Yeah, oh, I fault myself. I fault myself. I thought I had
man,
that
he
guy's
was
number.
Good, and he got us with that answer. My God.
And then, Mike, I want to put my finger.
Oh, my God.
He wants to put his finger somewhere bad.
And here it was. I thought it was weight advice.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
You do it right.
Hello. No, really, we've got all day to wait just for you.
Yes, you're on the air. Go ahead.
That is just unacceptable.
No.
Just unacceptable.
Can't
Joe, send out the hounds.
Book them.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
How's it going?
Well, we've had three great calls in a row. Why don't you make it four in a row?
Sounds good.
Yeah. No, Rob's right. Klaus von Spiewak is right.
What can we do for you?
Hey, I'm a paramedic from California. It's total BS. If they call, you don't have to go.
And I would assume that David Hasselhoff's family lives in California, so I'm glad we got a California call on this particular
Yeah. Well, he's so full of S that it's not even pathetic.
All right. I believe that you...
Don, don't you think that should be the final word on that matter?
Yes, I do. Hello, Don and Mike. Hello.
This is Bob. Are you talking to me?
No, Bob, we were not talking to you.
Never mind.
Bye now.
Oh, man, what about that call? What about Bob?
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Why didn't the Knight Rider kit the car drive the girl to the hospital?
That's good.
Fair question.
See, now this guy doesn't get his phone number given out or anything.
No way.
This is not a joke. It's observational humor.
It
Jerry
is.
Seinfeld humor.
Bravo.
Thank you, Fred.
Love you in Frisco.
Right. Right. Thank you. Love you in San Francisco.
Who's the voice of the car? William Daniels?
What? That's right. Yeah, the guy from St. Elsewhere.
Yeah.
We got to do this. We'll be right back.
Number four, Arbitron Rated. The Don and Mike Show. When you're ready to market, you only need to know one name.
Michael Hughes.
At the Michael Todd Hughes School of Marketing, you'll learn everything you need to know about successful radio marketing, like how to make a definite game plan.
Well, that's something we probably need to talk with them about.
And how to stick to that game plan.
We had talked about, the usual.
How to tackle issues head on.
That's a good question. I thought placed...
How to expand your area of dominance.
I got enough problems here in D.C.
While never abandoning the Michael Hughes bottom line.
We don't market the show,
Learn forceful networking skills.
I try and get everybody's attention I can. I talk to every general manager who will take my call across the country.
And how to talk in circles.
The only thing I passed along that didn't happen was what I relate. But, I got to see what they did and didn't run. But
so call Michael Todd Hughes and start marketing today.
There you go.
There you go.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe.
And now, ladies and gentlemen,
that's Little Richard.
Oh,
look out! Look out!
Look out!
That's
Steven
Sunger.
Right. Oh, look out! Look out!
The recipe for indifference. The Don and Mike Show.
Tell me, brother. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Howdy.
Actually, I was calling a long time listener. I want to call in for Mike and let Mike know about, he was asking about somebody going to the hospital with a paramedic. They can't make you go.
We're by that.
Oh.
We are well.
Oh.
Thanks anyway.
Oh.
Oh, Don.
How you doing, Tony?
My head hurts.
The Las Vegas style, excuse me,
yes.
The Reno style show
Reno
has been rescheduled, everybody. Love to meet you, love to see you. Love to feel your big, sweaty ham, turkey, chicken, various meat hands.
Yeah, baby.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Liver.
I think most times I go home from these appearances smelling like ham.
Right. That's why you've got that Purell dispenser in your car.
Reno-style show. We've got it rescheduled. Hooters of Rockville, Maryland on Rockville Pike. Mm-hmm. They're cool with everything that we do.
I know that place.
Holds about 500 people. Be a good party. We'll see you on Wednesday, October 18th.
Very good.
For the next We Are Still Sucking in the Ratings party. Okay? Because that's the only name that we can come up with. You know, I mean, we're on our way back up to number one.
Yeah, but we won't have pins for that.
No, we will not.
We're not going to have pins to say We Are Still Sucking in the Ratings.
No, we don't.
Because we're really not.
No, we're back up to, number four, number three? No, it was four last month, or six?
Six, five,
three and
six,
a half.
Four.
Two and a half, man. The ratings book itself, incidentally, comes out on that very day. The summer ratings book comes out on that day.
Well, that's a hell of a gamble.
So I'm sure that we'll be partying that
good.
Day.
Good. Good or bad?
Hello. Mike, it'll be only good.
Only good.
It's all good. My bad. Hello, John and Mike Joe. What the dilly-o? Hello?
Radio God.
What's happening?
Afternoon,
hey,
Holmes.
I was just wondering, where can I get my application for the Michael Hughes Marketing Academy?
Well, you have to be able to pronounce it first.
I was wondering where I could get the application for a halfway decent phone call for this show.
We've got a stack in the back room.
So much paper.
Hello, Donaldo E. Miguel.
Fill him out.
Don and Mike, how are you?
We're doing very well, thank you.
And Buzz, how are you doing?
I'm well, sir. You know, you sound a little bit like a little rascal.
Yeah.
Well, how are you? Hey, Don, I wanted to talk to you about fantasy football and find out who do you have on your team. Because I'm kind of new to
womp, 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 womp.
Where's our racist little rascal tape?
Womp.
Well, go get the music. Get the racist tapes. Get the ones about, like, I want to eat a watermelon.
Well, who do you have on your team?
I will tell you this, that yesterday at this time, everybody was calling, screaming that Sean Alexander's going to play.
Uh-huh.
He is not going to play this weekend.
He's got a broken bone.
Carol Owens is ever going to shut his mouth up?
Oh, come on.
Call Mike and the Mad Dog.
What are you doing?
Please. Although the best thing he did was give us the chance to play the racist little rascal thing.
Oh, Dingo and the Baby.
Honey, give me the biggest kiss you got.
That's a good one, but not as good as this one. So, they get the little black kid to stymie. He gets to wish for anything he wants.
Right.
And he wishes for a watermelon.
Yep.
And then he wishes for a really big watermelon. And this is so just bad.
How many years ago is this? A million. 31, wow. Really? Yeah.
What a stereotype. You know, blacks and watermelon. Here
little,
you go.
Little rascals.
Go ahead and rub it. Dummy and listen
to something. Go ahead and rub it. They're talking about a magic lamp.
That's the line delivered by the caller.
And I dream of genie lamp.
Mm-hmm.
What would I wish for? Or anything.
What do I wish for?
Or anything.
Go ahead and rub it.
Hi, this is Robert the Mailman.
Hi, Bobby.
I wish I had a watermelon.
Now, it doesn't end there.
No.
It doesn't end there with a black kid.
I think Spanky comes in and
ends 50 years ago, is rubbing a lamp, wishing for a
that's his genie's wish.
A watermelon, you know, wearing his best Al Jolson costume,
right,
for God's sake.
But you're ready.
Oops, hold on. That was Mike.
Wish for something big.
And, you know, they were always mad at each other. Do you ever notice that?
Oh, I wish for something big. Oh, Rob Von Speewen.
Remember what an a-hole Spanky was when we had him on our show, our old morning show?
We had him on once when he was nice and then a total jerk the second time. And he still spoke that way. He's like,
yeah, I can't talk.
He just wanted money from the Little Rascals VHS that was coming out
at
that time.
Okay. He's no longer with us.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Radio gods.
Howdy.
What's up? Hey, you know, I heard some idiot call earlier and say, I'll donate a dollar for every pound you lose. You ought to take him up on that offer and donate all your money to churches. Chicken.
How long ago was that call?
And also, this guy was just doing a joke. Area
yeah.
code 316-655. Do we have to C-block you again?
No, bye-bye.
No. Hold on.
No.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No.
Sorry.
Listen. And we've got to stop this trend of people calling with these awful jokes.
Yeah, it's terrible. It's also awful jokes that were related to something that happened half an hour ago.
So really, rather than have a C-block your call, you know, and that's call block, not the bad thing that girls do C-blocking.
Oh.
We can block out your
I'm
call,
sorry.
Or you can simply tell us where your mom lives.
My mom's a whore.
Okay, and who is your mom? We're looking for Satan, but we will accept...
Brother.
We'll accept going down on your brother.
Congratulations.
You may continue. Goodbye.
And then he gives us I love you.
We hate you.
And I love that.
His brother will also accept that.
Clearly.
Oh, wow. Oh, you know what? Hold on. I wanted to mention this is the front of the show today, and I
Rock,
did not.
Come on.
I do want to say hello to Kevin Dutz. He is from Baltimore, and he's one of the people that emailed about 2 months ago about playing Xbox Live with me.
Right. Yeah.
And as it turns out, today I had some spare time, shot, and I immediately went to Xbox Live, and this guy spotted me on there because he knows my name, and we played a game today.
And did you win?
Yeah.
Did you kill him?
Yeah, it was 35-3. He was the Ravens, I was the Colts.
What if he had beaten you 35-3? Would you still have mentioned his name?
Oh, yes, I would.
Okay, very good.
When I've played other people before, I tell you if I get my ass kicked.
Right. I mean, that's just you. How did he find you?
Because when you sign on to Xbox Live, when you go into whatever room it is, you can see the names of the people who are on.
Oh.
And he knows, like, what my online, Xbox Online name is.
Okay.
So immediately, he sent me an invitation. It says, on my screen, it says, ding, you have a message from, and then it's his name, and I open it up, and it says, hey, Don, it's me. Do you want to play?
Oh, okay, cool.
So I played with him.
So when you sign on Xbox Live, do you just, like, go in a room and hang out and wait for someone to challenge you, or how does that work?
What I try to do is pick up teenage girls.
It just sounded so funny. Do you go into a room and wait? Do you wait, and then suddenly Chris Hansen just
around the corner.
Well, you down here. I see you're down here.
Xbox Live.
Well, go on. Go on and wish for something bigger.
I wish I had a big watermelon.
I feel like talking that way for the rest of the show.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hello.
Hey.
Hey, you missed something really funny in that one episode of Little Rascals. Spanky is rubbing the lamp, and he goes, I wish Cotton was a monkey. And then someone says, hey, be careful what you wish for. And he goes, all he needs is a tail.
Rob is nodding his head. Do we have that one, or are you just familiar with it?
Biblically familiar with the episode, but I didn't know.
It's the same.
I know exactly what it is. Calm down. I'll see you at the meeting.
Okay.
Jesus.
Bye-bye.
Go on.
Bye-bye.
Oh, look, speaking of, look who's what on the a phone. Bunch of bigots we are.
Look who's on the phone now. He's grown up. You loved him on The Little Rascals.
Oh,
here
no.
He is, Stymie from The Little Rascals.
Oh, my God, if it's him, he's going to be mad.
Hi, Stymie.
Real funny.
Hey, Bob.
What's happening, Bobby?
You guys were all making fun of me on the radio.
Oh, come on,
Bob. Are you going to have watermelon at your hospital?
What kind of phone are you using, Robert?
Call back on a real phone.
Please call on a better phone.
For goodness sake.
What? Go on.
His little rascal's cell phone.
I'm not in my show.
Where'd you get those spinners?
His watermelon phone.
Oh, dear. Oh, my.
It's like the Sports Illustrated football phone. Just a little watermelon.
That's it. He's driving down here now.
His fried
he's
chicken phone.
Down.
God, go lock the door.
Oh, you guys are out of control.
His collard greens phone.
I'm going to need protection.
You guys are out of control.
Or
you guys are
or as my father used to call them, I swear to God, colored greens.
Oh, my God.
Wow. Colored greens.
Wow.
Wow.
Let
me say a big hi to Sam down in Sarasota, Florida.
He was kicking it old school.
Hello. Don and Mike show.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Hey, buddy.
As a longtime caller of the show, I would like to nominate a caller lockdown with the pure retardedness that is going on.
Let's start with this guy then.
All right, caller lockdown.
I like poopies.
What did he say?
I like poopies.
I think
that's what he said. Yeah, I believe that's what I heard him say. Why am I hearing so well today?
That's because I went on my diet.
That's right.
Why no more candy?
Today's the first day and no candy.
Why go on?
All the watermelon you want, Mike. Watermelon is good for you.
That's right. Low in calorie. Why go on?
I'm Spanky, and I'm eating dirt.
All right, we got a break. We got the baby tattoo, baby toupee guy coming up.
Very good.
That is Klaus von Spiewak's big booking for today's show. Please trust me when I tell you that tomorrow you will want to hear the tapes of Clay Aiken once again dancing around the whole gay issue.
Yeah, Larry tried to pin him down on it.
Yeah, the Crocodile Hunter's wife is crazy. We have Anna Nicole Smith tapes. We have Al Franken tapes. I don't know who the hell is climbing up Al Franken's butt and telling him he should run for president.
Oh, my God.
But he's thinking about it seriously.
Oh,
so
no.
We got a bunch of tape of Al Franken. And
Al Frank.
We've still got the Jerry tapes to get through. Jesus Christ.
Well, why don't you get to them?
You know, I wish we could, but we just eat so much watermelon around here every day.
Oh, go on.
Go on.
Go on now.
Get out of here. All right, then tomorrow we'll...
I'm a curmudgeon-y old man.
And a beanie.
Who's dead.
Hey, listeners, I tell you what. Tomorrow, you'll bring the mustard, and we'll bring the ketchup, because tomorrow will be ketchup day. We're going to play all the tapes that we've not played for this week.
I haven't heard that one. I have not heard that
just
one.
Just put it up on the spot.
No, you were just listening to Stevens and Medley again.
That's where I steal of all of our great bits.
Oh, go on. If I didn't read it, I wouldn't believe it.
Hey, Stymie.
Yeah.
No, he's on the phone again.
Oh.
Stymie? Robert, you have the worst phone in the world.
What is wrong with your phone?
I'm in the middle of a storm. You can't hear me?
It just sounds horrible. He's in a storm.
Yeah, like the stuff you spouting out of your mouth isn't horrible.
But, you know, it's an insult about something coming out of our mouths.
Uh-huh. Do you have your teeth in?
Can you hear me now?
Are you fussing?
Now it sounds better. You know what it is? You're yelling. That's what it was.
Do you have your teeth in?
No.
Yeah. All right, well, get a better phone and put your teeth in the next time you call.
I'm not putting my teeth in. The rest of them are coming out next week.
Oh, really? You're getting your teeth out next week?
Next Wednesday morning, Dr. Jerry Samuels is taking out the rest of the teeth.
Oh, very good, very good.
Good news.
What a fun news.
It was right up the street from you guys, and he's a great white dentist.
A great white dentist? That's funny.
As opposed to great...
Come on, man. Watermelon, man. You're telling yourself to do it.
He's yelling
yeah,
into the phone. That's right.
Yeah,
I heard watermelon.
You know,
I really did.
Stymie, call back. Excuse me. Grown-up Stymie, call back.
Oh, dear.
Adult Stymie.
Adult.
Huh?
Adult in content.
Stymie the mailman.
Stymie the angry mailman.
And Klaus von Spiewak. Everybody's getting a new name today.
It's Nickname Thursday.
It's funny. He's actually my mailman.
He really is.
I'll be locking up tonight.
All right. A quick break. Who am I kidding? It's the same as always. It's 9 minutes and 40 seconds.
Man, go on.
It goes by real fast if you eat watermelon. We'll come back with the baby toupee guy.
Right. Well, then press the button.
Number 4 Arbitron rated. The Don and Mike Show.
Sacramento, California. Hello.
Larry King, I want to commend you on your choice of suspenders tonight.
It is black.
I know it. This quality, though. This money that belongs to the Iraqi people, can they get that back from Saddam? And are we going to get Don and Mike on the Armed Forces radio over in Iraq?
Good question. That's a good question. Nick, I'm sorry, Nick. Christopher, can they get the money some way to... To send that money back to the people? He probably took it from them.
The Don and Mike Show.
Well, you kind of lost your place there, right?
How do you handle a hungry man with the Don and Mike Show?
Right. Tomorrow on the show.
Indeed.
Maybe from the CBS NFL show.
And you have the tape, right?
Yes. We have James Brown saying indeed 11 times during last week's CBS pregame show.
He'll be delighted to come back on the show with that.
Yeah. And also, did I mention to you when Janet was in Subway that she saw a placard that I guess they told Rob this. She called me from Subway and she said, I'm buying our subs and I see a sign that says win a trip to the Super Bowl, and at the bottom of the sign is a picture of James Brown, and it's got like the comic book thing coming out of his mouth, and it says, I'm James Brown. Win dinner with me.
We'll have to ask him about that.
So that's tomorrow on the show.
It will be a fine dinner indeed.
Plus, we'll get all of our fantasy stuff out of the way, not only from last week, but for the week coming up. That'll be on tomorrow's episode.
Yeah. I think really, you know, since we haven't gotten to it this far, we can probably just look forward to next week.
Owen 3 says what?
Oh, dear.
And tomorrow we're giving away $500 with Naked Cruelty, or as they like us to call it now, Naked Honesty.
Uh-huh.
Naked honesty.
That's the new politically correct version of the naked cruelty.
The naked cruelty.
Right.
But first, here's the setup. Wigs for babies.
That's funny right there.
Here is your toupee. A man in Santa Barbara, California, has created a line of wigs for babies who will surely have hell to pay, it says.
Hmm. Now, why will they have hell to pay?
Hell to pay.
Oh, hell to... You know what? That's designed for your brain.
Yeah.
That joke is designed for your brain.
Oh, I get jokes.
Hell to pay.
Okay. Anyway. Of course, Mike and I have to step aside for a moment, and Larry and Larry are coming in to talk to this guy.
No two better people to interview.
Hey, this Christmas party is getting a little too quiet. I think it's time we liven it up with...
What was that? Oh, that's Mr. Microphone.
Hey, this Christmas party is getting a little too quiet. I think it's time we liven it up with my favorite Christmas gift, Mr. Microphone.
Hey, what's that?
Well, you set the dial on your FM radio and testing.
Hey, good looking. We'll be back to pick you up later.
Live from Washington, D.C., it's the Larry King Show. King Show features interviews with interesting guests from around the world and telephone calls from across North America. It's a presentation of the Mutual Broadcasting System. And now, the host of the program, here's Larry.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm Larry.
I'm Larry, and you're listening to Larry King Show.
Anderson Cooper 360 follows us tonight. I asked Clay Aiken last night if he's gay.
You gay, Clay?
I asked him that. They rhyme.
You didn't answer.
Gay, Clay.
Why did he hide?
Play, slay.
Folks, this is Lay King. Last night, Clay Aiken refused to answer the question about whether or not he was gay.
May. Dance around the maypole.
Maypole. Why do they call it a maypole? You know, you want to know a good breakfast cereal?
Maples.
Maple. You ever eat maple?
I've eaten maple. It's good stuff. You know what I like?
I ain't gonna dance.
I like Mrs. Butterworth.
Oh, Mrs. Butterworth, she got a great, great head on her shoulders.
I like screwing the top off her head.
Man, that was good stuff. Thick.
Pour out on my flat.
What made it so thick, the Mrs. Butterworth? You like it on the... What do you like, waffles, brother? Or did you like pancakes?
Yes. Yes and yes. And yes and yes. But I'm thinking of more now than...
Where the waffles? That's what I used to say when my brother and I would have breakfast.
Breakfast.
Where are the waffles? I need the waffles.
Gladys Zeiger. My mother, Gladys.
Gladys Zeiger.
Gladys Zeiger.
She never bought. She never made homemade. She always bought the frozen.
We would always get matzo ball soup.
Matzo ball soup.
For breakfast.
Yes.
Breakfast.
That was made by our aunt, Sophie Zeiger. Sophie Zeiger made a great bowl of matzo soup.
Hey, hi, folks, it's Lay King.
Hi, and I'm Lay King.
As you know, Tom Cruise had a baby.
Yeah, they came, they got a name out of a book.
Why? They named the baby Subaru. And the baby Subaru.
Yeah.
Had a full head of hair. I saw this. Look, I saw the pictures. Looked like one of the mop tops.
Yeah, I saw the pictures. They had a great baby with a great head of hair.
And I look at that and I said, you know, that baby Chevrolet, whatever the baby's name is.
You know what you do for that baby?
The baby's got a toupee on.
You know what you do for that baby?
What do you do?
Buy it a dog. Babies like dogs, right? we got an interview coming up, don't we? We don't need it, do we?
Diaper rash is bad, right?
Gets red and irritated on your thighs. I got it. I'm not a baby.
Diaper rash, not for babies.
Oh. Right.
I wear adult diapers.
Sure.
And babies wear baby diapers. Do middle people wear middle diapers?
I don't think so. I think we got to wear them because of our advanced age. And, you know, it's the number one has the acidity.
You ever wear your adult diaper, brother? Like I do just because I'm lazy?
Sure.
I'm sitting in my chair and driving in my car. I think, why stop?
Well, you know, the restroom facilities at CNN are just down the hallway, and I really don't have time, so they're more convenient just to wear the diaper.
Anderson Cooper leaves a crawler every night in the CNN men's room. He follows our show tonight, Anderson Cooper 360.
He'll be talking about the issues of the day. We'll be talking about Anna Nicole Smith, guilty or not.
welcome now to the show from Santa Barbara, California, home of former President Ronald Reagan.
Good guy. Interviewed him a number of times, along with Ross Perot. Put me on the map.
Good guy, good guy. All remember towards the end, though. Yeah. He looked at a tree and said it was a book.
He lost it.
He said, second. Ronnie.
Lost it for a while.
He said, Ronnie. It was a tree. He said, Larry, it's a book.
But I'll tell you always, Nancy Reagan, good gal.
She's hell in bed. I'll tell you that.
Whoa. Brother.
I wasn't supposed to mention that.
Whoa.
We
wow, you're in trouble now, boy.
The Zyga boys.
Yeah.
Tag team.
I want to thank Nancy everybody Reagan. That tuned in to the telethon and watched me. I did a great job.
You're the next Matty, right?
You're the next Matty, right? You the one?
He's the guy on the phone.
It's Graham Farrar.
Hello, Graham.
Hi, Graham.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
I'm fine. My brother's fine. My name's Larry.
I'm Larry, too. First question, why does a baby need a wig?
You make baby wigs.
Why?
Yeah,
babies
need wigs because they're bald. You ever seen a baby? They got a cue ball head.
Well, they're cue ball bald, but they grow their hair later on, right?
Yeah, but think about the insecurity, the lack of self-esteem.
Now, to make a baby, let me make sure I got this right. You got the squiggly thing that swims upstream, right?
That's the tadpole.
Now, here's a question for your brother.
Sure.
I'm watching that movie.
Yeah.
Donkey 2. What's the movie we just saw last night, brother?
Jackass.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's where they run into walls.
They're drinking the stuff that I'm talking about. Except it comes from a horse, the stuff that makes babies.
Now, does that mean they're going to have a horse? Could the men have a horse? Could it get in there and do that?
Would you make a toupee for a horse? Go!
Yeah, I'd make a toupee for anything.
How would that work? Tell us how that would work.
Well, we'd have to get a big toupee. I mean, maybe we could get like a zebra toupee or maybe like a little unicorn.
Graham, do you make your toupees out of real hair or is it synthetic? Like, you know, get in a drugstore.
No, we get them from kids who have cancer and because the hair falls out really easy that way.
I thought that was for people that were going through.
That's, let me just say, cancer's bad, right?
That's a cancer drug.
Cancer's bad, right?
Yeah, I think it's a bad thing.
So what you're doing is you're taking cancer kids' hair. It's kind of creepy. You got a crawl space?
Was that a joke?
Yeah, no, that was a joke. They're actually made over in China by toddlers.
Is that another joke?
I guess he's trying to make a joke, but why? We're still trying to get to... We're talking with Graham Farrar. He makes toupees for babies, and we don't know why.
Yeah, they're made out of synthetic hair. They're made overseas in China, and then they ship them to us.
How much do they cost?
The toupees are $29.99.
Whoa!
Expensive, brother.
Way out of my league.
When Chris Hansen walked in, what'd you do? When Dateline cameras first... We're talking to Graham Farrar.
He makes baby toupees.
Who was nailed recently on Dateline NBC. He's a child predator. When the cameras came in, what did you think? You just walk out of that place?
No, I grabbed my toupees. I huddled around with them and I dressed...
Ugly Betty! I think it's a laugh riot.
Good show.
Ugly Betty, that's tonight.
You know, the girl's not really that ugly. I looked at her. She wears makeup and glasses to make her look...
They make her ugly.
They make her look ugly. What do you think, Graham?
Ugly's bad, right?
Ugly's definitely bad. I'm not a fan of...
She's a little fat. She's a little fat. Do the toupees look better on fat babies?
The Bob Marley one looks pretty good on a fat baby. You get a fat baby, it's had too much to
do
drink.
Do you have babies? Go.
Yeah, I got one. I got a six-month-old, and she's actually the model for most of our pictures on our website.
Is it an adult website?
Not yet.
Are you one of those creeps?
No, I'm not.
Yeah, they're taking pictures of your daughter, put on the web.
Besides,
why they call it a web? I mean, did Charlotte have something to do with that, or was it Spidey?
I thought it was outdoor.
Why is it a web?
Do you make a lot of money with your toupees for babies?
No, they're doing great. We've had 500,000 hits on our website.
What do you eat for breakfast on an average day? What's your favorite breakfast?
My brother and I were talking about waffles.
We like waffles and pancakes.
I love waffles. I love breakfast. It's my favorite meal. I'll eat anything that's sweet.
You'll eat anything what?
Anything that's sweet. Waffles,
you're
pancakes.
You're diabetic?
Danish.
Are you a diabetic?
Not yet, but I might be soon.
Here's a question for you.
What do you like that's sweet?
I like donuts. I like waffles. I like crepes.
What is the difference between Beatrice Arthur and an old shoe?
There's the answer.
What is the difference
There's
between...
the question, rather.
What is the difference between Beatrice Arthur and an old shoe?
Would you like to know, Graham?
Is it nothing?
You could eat an old shoe if you had to.
Whoa! That's the gag.
Now, can I tell you something? Hi, folks, it's Lay King.
And I'm Lay King, Graham Faraz, talking about baby toupees.
I never really got that joke. They write it down for me, and I tell you the joke. I don't get it. My brother doesn't get it. Can you explain that joke?
Yeah, the straight line, let's get this right, is what's the difference between Beatrice Arthur and an old shoe?
And it's, you could eat an old shoe if you had to.
And that's the punchline. Graham, do you get it?
I guess I wouldn't want to eat Beatrice Arthur. So maybe no. I don't think I get
it. Oh, wait a minute. I just got it. We both do that, brother. You know what he's talking about?
Cannibalism, brother.
Whoa, that's bad. You put them in a pot with sticks underneath and light it on fire and boil them.
Here's another one.
Yeah.
What's funny?
I don't get it.
Why is that funny? Have you ever thought about making a toupee that's also a retrothermometer?
No, but it's not a bad idea.
I know it's not. A great idea.
What do you do for
maybe lunch? Maybe we could do like a landing strip instead.
You like High Life?
High Life?
I like Miami Vice. I was big in Miami.
How did you not like High Life?
I was big in Miami.
If you wanted to find Lay King, of course, you'd look for us at the Fronton. Have you ever been to a Fronton?
No, I never.
A High Life Fronton?
I'd like to, though.
Good stuff. Good food. Great chili dogs.
Baby Merkins. Go!
Baby Merkins, that's what I'm talking about. We need it. I mean, the landing strip, you could do the Playboy, you could do the 70s porn shot.
Graham, it says you live in Santa Barbara. What do you do for real out there?
I manage a customer support group for a consumer electronics company.
What's that?
That's a lot of words
going all over the place there.
Yeah, people call up, they buy a product from us, and they call us, and we tell them how to use it.
Rock Hudson, he didn't have many friends. But he had neighbors up the ass.
What's funny about that?
What I don't get. Tell me, baby toupee. Why is it funny? I don't get it.
Have you seen a picture of a baby with dreadlocks?
Oh, yeah. You're focused, for some reason, on babies.
Are you hoping you're going to get rich, Graham, with the toupees for the babies?
I'm hoping. I was kind of hoping it would be like the next...
How much money have you made so far? Go!
$100,000.
We're talking with Graham Farrar, who is one of these sickos in our society, who is, I believe they call them diaper pale enthusiasts.
Yeah, they like to wear the stuff.
Now, right? My brother and I, we wear the adult diapers because we cannot control our bladder.
Only out of necessity, and as we discussed earlier, maybe a little laziness.
Why do you wear? Why are you into the baby stuff? Go!
I got a six-month-old baby, and she's the only one who will let me dress her up.
You think it's cruel to put her in the hair? In the phony hair, you think that makes her, sad, cry, upset?
She seems to like it. She smiles and laughs.
You know, there are these kids that, when they're traumatized as a child, I read an article that says they get all upset later in life and then they do horrible things.
Upset is bad, right?
Upset's a bad thing.
David,
you don't want to upset a baby.
David Hasselhoff, good guy.
Maybe I'm going to need therapy later.
David Hasselhoff's baby.
Did you say therapy?
I did. For the guy who said that there'll be hell to pay.
That was David Hasselhoff's baby. She cut a wrist.
Do you have a David Hasselhoff wig with that nice big black curly hair?
David Hasselhoff called 911 from an airport. He's crazy. He's a good guy.
911, Graham, is the emergency number, right?
Yeah, or the baby toupee hotline.
You like talking about your baby toupees.
If I talk about anything, what do you
sounds to me like your fingers, if I could smell them, will probably smell like something bad. You're one of those guys.
Could you smell your fingers for us right now, Graham?
Yeah.
Could you smell them?
What do they smell like?
They probably smell like something.
Not good.
What do they smell like?
Smells like my sandwich.
What kind of sandwich you're eating? Now we're talking.
Yeah, this is a turkey sandwich with Swiss cheese on it, and it's hot and toasted, so it's all melted around.
Graham, how often do you wash your hands?
I haven't yet today.
No, come on, tell us the truth.
Last time I washed them was probably in the shower.
You're trying to be funny, and we're doing a serious interview on Lay King. Folks, Anderson Cooper will be coming up later. More serious news interviews.
We want to thank Hugo Chavez for being on the show.
That's what my fingers smell like. They smell like Anderson Cooper.
Oh,
Whoa. Where have your fingers been?
360.
Well, Graham, we've loved talking about your baby toupee.
It's not often that we get floored during this segment.
360.
But you've managed to do it.
Graham Farrar's been talking about his fingers and his baby toupees.
Is there some website, some perverted website that why do they call it a web?
He's confused, my brother. My
Didn't
brother.
We cover this already? We already did this, didn't we?
Do you have some .com thing?
Baby sluts. Babysluts.com.
That's not your website. You do win the award for playing along the best.
You're the best. You're the best we've ever had.
Baby, it's not baby sluts. What's your website, Graham?
It's www.babytoupee.com.
Carrot Top. He's a funny man, isn't he?
Word association, Graham. We say a word, you say a word.
Carrot Top.
Go.
Funny.
Oh, I'm sorry, I did Redhead. It myself. Redhead.
Here's another word for you. Kosher hot dog.
That's more than one word.
360? No.
He's obsessed with going 360.
Thanks for being on the show.
Thanks, Graham.
Thanks a lot for having me, guys.
Hold on a second. Hold on, we'll put you on with our producer.
Hold on a second.
Chris Castleberry.
God.
Hi, Graham. Hey, how do you think it went?
It's just so all over the place.
Can't wait to have you back on. Good luck.
We're never having him back on again.
See you, bye-bye.
We want out of him.
I know.
Jesus
Christ.
All right.
Wow.
Good, good, good.
He did handle the Anderson Cooper question. Yeah.
He said it was confusing, hard to keep up, but a lot of fun.
That's good. I think he got the spirit of it.
I do
Thank
too.
You. Thank you, Klaus, the artist formerly known as Kong.
Klaus von Spiewak.
Coming up on 6 o'clock on the East Coast, we're coming up on Buzz's News. And there is Bob right there.
Right.
How are you, Bob?
I'm well and ready to go.
Okay.
How about you, Bobby?
Hey, Buzz.
Bobber. Yeah.
Buzz?
Yes.
Be a love and take us to break.
Don and Mike, go to break.
Is it really Don and Mike to break?
I mean, it could be if you'd like it to be. I thought Tom always said go to break.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah.
My apologies.
He has said Don and Mike to break before. Yeah. Okay. Can you do it in your best Tom Gavin impersonation?
Don and Mike, go to break.
Number 4 Arbitron rated. The Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
We are about to find out.
They never shame the beast. Don and Mike.
Right. Hey, look at that now. We got plenty of time for two nice long segments of Bob Gurley now.
Right. Bob's got some serious news tonight. Yes.
Bob Gurley with the news. Hi, Bob Gurley.
Hi, Don and Mike. Venezuelan President Hugo Chavez will pay a price for calling President Bush an alcoholic and the devil incarnate.
Look, the key for me is to keep expectations low.
Smell this, Sulfur Chavez. The American chain of convenience stores known as 7-Eleven is dropping Venezuela's Citgo gasoline in favor of its own brand. 7-Eleven may have already been headed in that direction. Citgo was required to buy a third of its gas from a third party. That made Citgo a middleman with the higher prices passed along to you. But the company says the recent acts and deeds of Venezuela's president have made it clear Americans might not want to buy Venezuelan gas.
Why don't they call the gas station Chavez?
Me no believe. Me what, no believe
which part,
was...
Which I'm interested. Which me, part don't you believe?
Me no believe that 7-Eleven is dropping Citgo because of Hugo Chavez saying that Bush is Satan.
They were planning on doing that already.
Yeah, me,
right.
me think 7-Eleven wanted to make their own gas, and me not know why. Me talk like Frankenstein right now, but
me talk bizarro.
Yeah.
Well, both sides.
Me are, not believe.
Maybe you be affected by a storm outside.
Also, me not know. How come lock on door?
Mm-hmm.
That was almost an Oriental thing. How come rock on door yet store never close? 7-Eleven.
Right.
Ooh. I know I'm going back to Larry King thing.
Yes. Wait to not use verb.
And maybe even now going back to yesterday to Bobby Ree.
Bobby Ree! Who you say Oriental. He laughed.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, he laughed. Well, both sides are getting a lot of mileage out of this week's clash between former presidents.
Mileage, I get
that's
it.
A joke.
Yeah,
that's
kind
a
of.
Joke.
Yeah.
That's a joke, kind of.
Mileage.
Kind of.
They're getting it out of this week's clash between former President Bill Clinton and the smirky Chris Wallace of Fox News.
I like smarmy better than smirky.
Well, see, the president accused Chris Wallace of smirking during his question, so right. I've forever attached the word smirky
but
to
you would agree
Chris
he's
Wallace.
A bit smarmy.
Oh, yeah, that too. Yeah. But in this story, smirky.
Oh, Chris Wallace.
Yeah. And now, the head of Fox News.
My dad is older than Jesus. Someday I'll be as old as my father.
Take my shirt off and I resemble Poppin' Fresh.
As old as dirt.
Blah.
Roger Ailes, head of Fox News, has weighed in. He says Clinton's response to Wallace's smirky question was, quote, an assault on all journalists.
Fat guy, Roger Ailes.
Ailes called Clinton's firm but measured response, quoting again, a wild overreaction.
Wow.
Now, Ailes has every right to say that because Fox News has never overreacted to anything. We now return you to that Southern California car chase.
Mm-hmm.
We call
hey,
it...
Hey, 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 hey.
We call it, yes?
Buzz.
I enjoy him too, but,
excuse
you
me,
know.
Listen, come on, no.
A little overdone.
No, it's not. You can never get an... And as a matter of fact... We don't get the amount of car chases now.
And that's not Fox, that's L.A.
3 or 4 years ago.
That's not exclusively the Fox network.
Oh, but I could have picked the JonBenet story, just anything.
Although Fox...
Didn't you see most of your car chases when you had the L.A. feeds from the local, any of the affiliates out there?
KNBC.
Yeah, NBC.
KNBC. Right. Chopper 4. They would cover a guy who had a flat tire. They'd have Captain Dan up there going, hey, look, we got a guy on the side of the road.
And who's the guy that says... Let's be careful out there.
Oh, the traffic guy.
The guy that's got the voice.
The guy with the gray hair?
I love that guy. I truly love that guy.
There's less car chases because of the escalating fuel costs.
We call as our next witness.
Thank you, Klaus.
Klaus von Spiewak weighing in. We call as our next witness Rudy Giuliani. Who,
hey, Buzz?
Yes?
I just want to see if you would start a third time by saying we call as our next witness.
Sure. If you'd like. For you? Sure. We call as our next witness Rudy Giuliani, who was mayor of New York on 9/11. He says any criticism about what Clinton didn't do about Osama bin Laden is, quote, just wrong. Thanks to Chris Wallace's smirky question, the attention of politicians has been unproductively placed on which president did the least to prevent 9/11, Bush or Clinton. And it distracts us from the growing realization that the war in Iraq has made terrorism worse. But as for the Fox News attempt at further demonizing Clinton, Giuliani says, quoting again, he doesn't deserve it.
You know, you realize you're like the anti-Fox.
Yeah,
you realize that.
It's
that
become
is,
my and, mission in life.
Yeah,
yes.
And I'm realizing that too now that we're trying real hard to give you much more time in the last hour of the show. Something to realize that you're on your own propaganda machine.
Well,
you got your own swirling little box in the corner of the radio right now.
When,
going around, buzz news, buzz news, buzz news. We hate Bush, we hate Bush.
When there's fun to be had, I'm all over it. When there's next stepping to be done, I'm all over that.
I'm with you. I mean, we give you your editorial reign.
I wish there could be just a little bit more balance.
I know. You keep buttonholing me about that.
I really do. I wish there could be a little bit more. Something to support our Republican Party that has kept this country, in my opinion, pretty damn happy for the last 2 years.
You speak for a majority of...
I know I do.
The minority of the majority of the minority of the majority of the minority.
All right, here's something different.
Yes, buddy.
Increased airline security means more of these stories. A fight broke out on a flight into Miami yesterday morning. The flight was arriving from Lima, Peru, and somebody on the flight didn't smell very good. That somebody was a 20-year-old man. The 56...
Bacardi Limon.
Tony Diggs.
The 56-year-old Japanese man sitting next to him told the 20-year-old he shouldn't be listening to his iPod and that he smelled bad. The FBI says the older man then poured cologne on the young guy, poured water on himself, and then vomited in the aisle.
I like that.
The airline says the two passengers were separated for the rest of the flight.
Is cologne allowed now? What, did he have to pour it out of a bag?
I believe you can carry like a 3-ounce container of approved...
But doesn't it have to be in a plastic bag?
Please remember.
I think it does, and how this came to be, I don't know.
It smells like cologne. Leave it alone.
The FBI says this is what happened. The airline says the older man had been denied boarding the day before because he'd been behaving strangely. Apparently, he seemed more normal yesterday until
I behave so strangely.
Why?
Hey, Bobby Reed. Where are my plastic bags? And when are we going to be able to start bringing regular bags on airplanes again? When are we going to have to stop bringing things on in Ziploc bags?
1-quart Ziploc bags. I found that it has to be. We didn't point this out the other day. It's very specific. It's got to be a 1-quart Ziploc bag.
Why?
Because that's what the head of the Transportation Security Agency says.
Because America is afraid of them.
What about colostomy bags?
Good question, Rob.
And what size?
We won't be. I don't think you'll see it. I don't think you're going to see it in our lifetime. I think America is afraid of all of them.
All bags? I'm not a mass major,
right?
I'm all new and improved Joker products. But I was trying to get out. I was trying to punch that one through.
Not a mathematician here.
Yeah, I went through the two hole.
But it seems to me that you could get 4-quarter pounders in one of those bags.
Yeah. In a quart bag?
No.
No?
No way.
No, a little
four
tight.
4-quarter pounders.
You could if you really, if you smashed
two,
them together.
I think two.
You could get 4 foot of bread.
Yeah. No, hold on. I'm just talking just on, doesn't 4 quarters make a hole? I mean, like is it a 1 pound bag?
No, 1 quart.
So
how
I'm
many?
I'm stupid. Forget that I said that then.
Yeah, but I bet you could get them in if you ate them and then threw them up.
Right, and poured cologne on them.
You can get 4-quarter pounders in a colostomy bag.
I've done it.
Oh.
4 hours. I need 3 hours.
I've done it.
Now, look at that. We're embracing the longer news segment.
Excellent.
Now we're talking about hamburgers and a colostomy bag.
Vomit. Fun.
And remember, don't squeeze the bag.
No. No, trust me, don't. 4 out of 5 Iraqi dentists.
Why'd you say that?
Joke. I've had with Brad for years.
Don't squeeze the colostomy bag.
I'm sorry. It's good advice, though. I enjoy it. Thank you, bud.
4 out of 5 Iraqi dentists recommend sugarless gum for their patients who chew gum. And 4 out of 5 Iraqis think that the U.S. troops we have there are only making things worse. According to a new poll by the University of Maryland International Policy Program, 4 out of 5 Iraqis believe the presence of U.S. troops causes more violence than it prevents.
That thing about gum.
Yeah?
You just made that up like as a lead-in, right?
Yeah, because that was 4 out of 5, and
okay.
Then so was the next figure. So
okay. I'm just making sure.
4 out of 5.
I like gum.
Together.
I like stories about gum.
Stories about gum, and they're very rare.
You like gum?
According to a new poll by the University of Maryland's International Policy Program, 4 out of 5 Iraqis think it's worse. Vast majority of them hate Osama bin Laden. That's encouraging. They're not too fond of the president of Iran. That's encouraging. But most Iraqis want the U.S. to go home, and within a year. They're worried that the U.S. military bases we have there are there to stay. And maybe that's why 3 out of 5 Iraqis say they approve of the attacks on U.S. troops. Police Academy Baghdad might actually be funnier if it had Steve Guttenberg. As it is, the Iraqi...
Nothing would be funnier if it had Steve Guttenberg.
A funeral.
The Iraqi Police Academy, built at a cost to you of $75 million, is falling apart and may have to be torn down. The academy that was considered crucial to helping Iraqis manage their own affairs has shifted and cracked, causing plumbing issues that leave feces and urine running down the walls, creating a health hazard.
Feces and urine.
The water leaks so bad in another room, they call it the rainforest. Quoting a congressional investigator, the Baghdad Police Academy is a disaster. It was built, by the way, by an American company.
Bring in that old blonde guy that was like the head of the whole thing that talked like that.
No, I believe the unsung hero was Bubba Smith. And I know the old guy you're talking about, like the guy that was the captain, the boozy-like captain.
Who was also in Tootsie.
George Gaines. He was also in Punky Brewster.
George Gaines.
Who was the guy who made the funny sounds? The black guy?
Michael
Tucker? Not Michael Tucker.
But I asked that question and stopped it.
I have no idea, but I know his first name is Michael.
Yeah.
And he didn't do impressions, he just made sounds. Michael Winslow.
Hey, very good. We got it. It's a rough and tumble election season out there, especially with Bad Decision 06 just 5 weeks away. But nowhere has it been more rough and tumble than here in Virginia, where voters will try to decide which candidate is most guilty of using the N-word. Republican George Allen.
There's the candidate.
He's not running.
I will not serve.
Republican George Allen reportedly has a long history of using the word. Democrat James Webb has now effectively admitted that he used the word He, for one thing, he used it in his novel about the Vietnam War, but that's a novel.
I hear that the other guy, Allen, got it from his dad.
What?
George Allen was.
Yeah,
George Allen.
That big drop in the end, Bob, when he was a coach of the Reds.
I read where George Allen had a Confederate lapel pin and a Confederate flag on his Mustang.
And daddy
bought him or something like that.
And we're talking about, I hope you're talking about as I am, the George Allen that was the coach of the Reds.
The one that licked his thumb all the time.
That's right.
And you know, we were talking
every time he licked his thumb, in essence, he was saying the N-word. That was his code when he was on TV.
You know, there have been so many reports about Senator Allen and all this, all the use of this word.
Is that lightning?
Is that a police car?
No. That's our phone ringing.
Hotline. Oh, it flashes like that.
Distracted me.
Yeah, it's supposed to. What's this?
Someone who
has the hotline. Oh, I bet it's one of my kids.
Oh, okay.
Bart?
Who is it?
It was Bart. He said call him on his
Okay. The thing
that's a scary light, incidentally, when the hotline rings. We're getting a storm here.
Yeah, we're a little freaked out by it.
And it looked like either...
Who's freaked out by it?
What's that?
The storm.
No, the light. The light was freaking us out. That's
okay.
What I was talking about.
Yeah. Right. I thought it was lightning at first, and then... This thing looks like a police light. Isn't it?
I thought there was like some sort of like a power line that went down. I was going to ask you this.
You know what? I saw you pick up your cell phone, Klaus. Now he's made it go on again.
I was going to ask you about George Allen Sr. when he coached the Redskins. I mean, I don't know whether this is related at all.
Yeah.
But didn't he have like a lot of old Southern white guys on the team? I don't know if it's related at all, but like Dyron Talbert,
I think
Ron McDowell.
Yeah, but those were all guys he brought from the Rams. There were lots of black
players. The Over the Hill gang.
But there were lots of old black guys on the Redskins as well. You had Charlie Taylor, you
just
had Larry Brown. Bobby Mitchell was passed at that time.
I was just curious whether there was any kind of, tie-in at all.
So there have been many reports of George Allen using the N-word, and now there are reports of his opponent using it as well, and we'll continue that story when we come back.
The George Allen that Buzz is speaking of is the son of the Redskins coach, who is running
for Senate.
For the Senate.
Who sounds a little like Al Gore when you hear him talk.
Yes, he's another one of these guys who talks a little bit like this. I've never said that. Now, why don't you shut up, Macaca?
The opponent's story when we return.
And can you picture the real George Allen? The other one, the good one, the football coach?
Or the one that licked his thumbs?
I mean, the guy would really never use the N-bomb, I'm positive. The guy drank milk and had ice cream and gave speeches like, hip, hip, hooray, we're the good guys, all for one and one for all.
Isn't there an NFL Films clip of him saying, let's give ourselves three cheers?
Yeah.
Hip, hip, hooray!
Ultra-conservative guy.
Yeah, I mean, I am kidding when I say that, but it's funny to think that if he goes... All right, let me see who I got started tonight. Well, I got a couple of fast ends in the backfield. And, of course, back then in the 70s, it would be no end's going to play quarterback for the Washington Redskins. You hear me, little George?
Someday when you
little George on my knee.
Someday, son, when you grow up to be a senator from Virginia, remember what your daddy told you.
I don't think that could happen.
No N-bomb is going to play quarterback for the Washington Redskins.
Oh, God. I don't see that possibly happening. No way. Little George. Little George. You step up on, sit up on daddy's knee. Now, this is daddy's football team out here. Now, over here, we got the white guys practicing.
We got the ends.
We got the ends practicing over there. What do you think? Yeah, you remember these things. These are the valuable lessons of life, little George.
And whenever you want to say that word, and you find you can't, lick your thumb. Just lick your thumb.
That'll be code. Son, little Georgie, when you see me licking my thumb, you know what I mean.
All right, but so we will continue talking about... The George Allen that was not the football coach for the Rams and the Redskins.
And his opponent using the N-word as well.
Okay, we'll be right back. Where's Robert the Mailman? Getting
a new phone.
Number 4 Arbitron rated. The Don and...
What's the word from Planet Crestbot?
The Don and Mike Show.
Oh, hey.
Face down, ass up.
Right.
That's the way we listen to the Don and Mike Show.
I time for more buzz. Time for more music, Bob.
Yeah.
Bob is brought to you by Cox.
Tomorrow,
All of them. All the employees at Cox Business Services, providing broadband-based high-speed internet, local and long-distance phones, video data solutions to all size businesses, CoxBusiness.com. And now, here's Buzz, and we're going to continue talking about George Allen, not the football coach.
Well, actually, we've covered George Allen pretty well. Now we're going to talk about his Democratic opponent in this Virginia Senate race for Bad Decision 06. Democrat James Webb has effectively admitted that he also used the word, used it for one thing in his novel about the Vietnam War.
Buzz?
Yes?
Can we please refer to him as Jimmy Webb?
Jim Webb, I loved Up and Away.
Up and Away.
And the other great pop songs he
Wichita
wrote.
Wichita Lineman.
Yes.
I believe Galveston also from Jimmy Webb.
That was from Jimmy Webb?
Oh. He wrote all that stuff.
Yeah. And I think that's what Clinton called the Senate candidate. I'm very, very big on supporting Jimmy Webb. I think he said that. I think he called him Jimmy.
Yeah. Right. He called him Jimmy, really?
Mm-hmm. But Mr. Webb says...
I like Jimmy's on Sundays.
Oh. I like Jimmy's on ice cream.
Yeah, well, that's what I meant.
Oh, you said Sundays. Oh, I thought you were like,
day of the week.
I thought you just like hanging out with guys named Jim on Sundays.
S-U-N-D-A-E.
Ah. Sunday.
Jimmy Webb.
He wrote that, too?
Yeah.
Wow.
Jimmy Webb, right.
We have time to play the whole thing, right?
And now he's running for the governor of, or rather, Senate.
Senate from Virginia.
A Democratic candidate for Senate.
And whenever Jimmy Webb licks his finger, remember, he wants to say the N-word.
I love this song. Richard Harris, the late, great Richard Harris.
Don't you like the Donna Summer version better?
You know, it's a push. This one has so much history, and it's such a novelty song. But, I like that as far as pure disco.
But never leave pastry in the weather.
Someone let the cake out of the rain.
Uh-huh.
I tell you what this is.
What?
If you're a disc jockey from 1969 to 1975, this was BM Special number one. I mean, because it was too
obvious. Almost a Leave the Building record.
It was too obvious if you were to play Stairway to Heaven that you had to go take a big crawler. But if you put on MacArthur Park, you could take a BM, you could get a BJ, you could get a pizza. Come back, and you still have three minutes before the record's over.
And if you play Anagata DeVita, you can get minor surgery. You know, outpatient.
You know what the country version was?
What?
Uneasy Rider by Charlie Daniels.
Yeah, but how long?
7 minutes, something in the
neighborhood. No, Mike, it's really not. It's 5:15.
You know what seemed longer? Because that was the only one I had. Because, you know, country records are 2 minutes and 30 seconds.
Yeah, you're right.
I think it was Uneasy Rider, and there might have been one other one, and I can't remember what it was. But Uneasy Rider was the only real poop song that I had.
In Uneasy Rider, the line that they beeped out when the record came out was they ran out of the bar like something was on fire, and their asses was catching. And they beeped out the word asses in Uneasy Rider.
Right.
And I always thought when I was a kid, he said, like, a bad word for penis.
In your mind, it was worse than it actually was.
Do we have an Easy Rider?
Kicked old green thief right in the knee.
We have all the other country songs. Anyway, James Webb insists he never used the word as a racial epithet and that he never called anyone that.
Jimmy Webb.
But 67-year-old Dan Craig of Fairfax County, Virginia, says Webb used the word on him at the U.S. Naval Academy in the early 1960s. But, quoting Craig, I don't think he's a racist any more than George Allen, end quote. So there are your choices. Happy voting.
Oh, I think it's an easy choice, Buzz.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a very easy choice.
Yes. It's just
I'm going to vote for the independent candidate.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
There also appears to have been a miscount in the number of Sirius satellite radio subscribers. The company reports it landed...
Incredible!
No, it's true. They say they landed 359,000 new users over the last 3 months. That doubles the number they had before. Surely they can't be serious. But while,
you're a goddamn genius!
While XM Satellite Radio has been counting the folks who actually subscribe, Sirius has been counting the radios as they're installed in new cars, whether anyone's bought the car or not, and regardless of whether the buyer ever actually subscribed. The new 06 cars came out over the last 3 months, which may explain the third quarter spike in what Sirius calls user numbers. It also means that in more than one location, Howard's talking to an empty Chrysler Concorde.
You know, I'm not sure, but I think that both of the satellite companies have that same deal where they count.
No, they both have talked about this publicly. XM says, no, we only count the people who send us money. Sirius has said, we do count the radios that are installed in cars, but that really only boosts our number by about 10%.
So anybody want to take a poll out as far as when they merge, when the two companies are going to merge?
As soon as Mel runs out of money.
Then he's going to be back here running.
Whichever one runs out of money.
I hope to God. Well,
would that be something?
Would that be, whenever Mel runs out of OPM, other people's money, that would be the best of all worlds if Mel came back and took over CBS.
Yeah, that'd be wonderful. Yeah.
Oh, boy. Because all these douchebags would be fired like that.
Oh, it would be delightful.
You know what it'd be? Right. It would be goodbye, Michael Hughes, day one. I mean, day one.
That's true. Might be a little higher than that.
You think so?
I think so.
Not so Pee Wee Herman?
AJ Mr. Herman.
And, of course, our big buddy, our big fan, Joe L. Hollander. Joe Hollander. Now, I've heard his name is Joel, but I believe it's Joel.
Joel?
L apostrophe.
Joel.
Like Jorel.
Jorel.
I like Joel.
Joseph L. Hollander, not a big fan of this show.
Robert, what we've heard through the grapevine.
Are you giving me the sign like you are driving me crazy, or are you giving me the sign like wrap it up for commercial?
Wrap it up because we need to break.
Okay. See, I thought he was doing that. You ever do that with a kid, Mike? Where you go like this. Now, this is totally nonverbal, but you go.
You drive me crazy. I've done it, but I haven't done it with my kids. What I do is when I'm eating pasta, I do the thing where the pasta is on a little string,
and I
do the crank around my ear, and then I suck the pasta in. Big laugh. Still do it. I'll do it till they're 50 and I'm dead. I'll do it from the grave.
An adult bookstore has second thoughts about selling handcuffs when we return.
Okay.
Number 4 Arbitron rated. The Don and Mike Show.
Gosh, I hate to interrupt. It's all been so incredibly fascinating and entertaining and instructive. Really, the time has just flown by.
The Don and Mike Show.
Rich with the good taste of bile. The Don and Mike Show.
I'll play this with my friend Klaus von Spiewak. And here now is Robert Elston. Hi, Bobby.
Hi, Don and Mike. Finally, for three armed robbers, it was the final frontier. It was the holdup at the Starship Enterprises adult video store in Stone Mountain, Georgia.
Turn off the music so I can pay attention.
They boldly went where no gunman had gone before.
That was you mean the name of the adult store is Starship Enterprise?
That's right. That is correct. Starship Enterprises.
How did they get away with that with all of the lawyers that are behind the Paramount machine that runs Star Trek?
Well, Gene Roddenberry, big porn fan.
Actually, that's true. They boldly went, though, these robbers, where none had gone before. They restrained the store's employees with fur handcuffs and leg irons sold by the store for adult bondage fun. No word on whether the employees were threatened with any of the other items in the store. When you're facing a gun, who's afraid of latex, no matter how big it is? I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show. See you tomorrow.
The all new episode, everybody. Good day to you, sir.
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 All right, you.
Don't squeeze the colostomy bag.
Let's go and listen to some gay records.
All right.
My bum is raw.
Number 4 Arbitron rated. The Don and Mike Show.